You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And it is, of course, the holiday season. We are rolling right into Christmas. I went shopping today and I was out at the mall and it was nice. I mean, there was a lot of activity. There were some moments of drama that we're going to talk about later. We have an important guest with us right at the top of the show because it is the holiday season. Everyone is so focused on the gifts that they want to buy and having the right decorations and having the right moments. And one of our very own here at WGN, one of our family, Adam Hoge, has gone through an incredible journey in the last few weeks, actually over the last couple of years. Adam Hoge, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. Yay.
This is very exciting.
Hey guys.
So they told me, Adam, you've sat in front of this board. They said roll the fader up all the way to the right.
Yeah.
It's actually select-1MCTL would be the button I needed to roll all the way up, just in case you're ever sitting here and want to know.
Yeah, see, I don't even know what that means, but I do know what those faders mean. So I'm sitting here like, I know what button to press.
I know, but there's one more next to it. There's SEL-2EFX, so it's not that one. So I'm excited to find you on this one. You know what? This is so in the weeds, I shouldn't even bother with it because I've been reading more about your story and the story of a lot of other families. Tell us a little bit. I got it, Ernie. Our engineer came running down, Adam. Look, this is minor compared to what you have experienced over the last 2 years. How old is your son James, by the way, now?
James is almost 2.5.
And is he your only child?
Yes, he is.
So you can attest to many parents who, when you are expecting your first child, you have all these hopes, these dreams, you imagine your life, you know, especially those first few weeks coming home. You had a very dramatic and scary beginning of James's life. Tell us a little bit about what happened 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, we did. I mean, for one, my wife had surgery at about 19 weeks pregnant, just completely unrelated to everything else that ended
really?
Up happening down the road. And that was scary. She managed to get through that. Now, that may have ultimately had, you know, a trickle-down effect on James being born 2 months early, which also did happen while we were on vacation up in northern Wisconsin, of all places. So James ended up being born in Wausau, Wisconsin,
okay,
right before Bears training camp started in July of 2014, which is also when I just took this job with WGN to come back to WGN. So
right,
it was all a very hectic time.
And there's no way to prepare yourself in any way, shape, or form for a child to be born early. And that's, I mean, because a child who's born early needs critical care immediately.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what we learned. And so we're in the NICU for a month. And while we're there, there was a doctor who was actually from Chicago who was working up there that noticed that his mouth was a little bit small.
Mm-hmm.
And was maybe looking at a couple other things in his chart and put two and two together and decided that, hey, maybe we should do some genetic testing here. And exactly a month after James was born, we, you know, were just sitting there in the NICU room holding James. I think I was taking a nap at the time, and all of a sudden, it was like 5 or 6 doctors, nurses, whatever, came in and bombarded us with this thing called DiGeorge syndrome.
DiGeorge syndrome. Okay.
I never heard of before. Didn't know what it is. I think saying that right now, right here on the air, a lot of people listening probably have never heard of it.
No, I had never heard of it until I heard James's story as well.
So it is technically called 22q11.2 deletion.
Sure.
Syndrome, which is a very complicated name.
Right.
It is shortened mostly by most people call it 22q, and some people it also goes by DiGeorge syndrome. And the most simple way to explain this is that it is a deletion in your 22nd chromosome. So you're basically just missing some genes. It could be a small deletion. It could be a big deletion. And that size of deletion determines the complications that you have and that you face throughout your life. And what's kind of incredible is the smallest deletion could be something that you listening right now could be, not to put any fear in you, but it's just a reality. You might have a heart murmur and that's it.
Right.
And it could be a result of this, and you don't even know that you have it. The estimates right now are that somewhere in 1 of 2,000 or 1 of 4,000, somewhere in that range, have 22q. But doctors don't really know, because there are a lot of people actually out there that have lived long lives with maybe some minor health problems here and there, and it's actually been a result of this, and they didn't even know it. So in James's case, this was diagnosed very early. And it was a significant enough deletion that he's had some issues, which eventually led to the surgery a couple weeks ago, which we can get into in a minute. But the bottom line is that he's been seen by doctors and is living a very happy and healthy life. And a lot of his issues can be treated and managed. And he still can live a good life and be a little happy little boy.
Absolutely. And I know that you must have, when you first got this diagnosis, started going down the rabbit hole of online research and finding out the worst case scenario. And look, that's going to happen to somebody. But when you start being bombarded, as you mentioned, with that information, with the diagnosis, and then you read all these other stories. And again, I am looking at the numbers that they estimate, because again, as you mentioned, it's not always the diagnosed. So there is an underestimate of its prevalence, but it's between 1 in every 2,000 or 4,000 live births, which makes it almost as common as Down syndrome. So there, like again, there are people who may not even know, and there are different defects that might occur along the way, whether it's developmental delays. And in James's case, there was something really, I mean, terrifying for you guys, and we're going to talk about that surgery that he just survived and is thriving, because you posted some incredible pictures and videos. Can I share? Is your Facebook page public?
Yes, it is.
So Adam Hoge, that's H-O-G-E, go to his Facebook page and you will fall in love with this incredible little boy who is such a warrior, so tough, so strong and inspiring, and as are his parents, because this is not just a diagnosis for James, this is a diagnosis for his family, as it is for so many people who find out about 22q11.2 deletion, but again, everyone calls it 22q. It is easier that way, Adam, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
It's much easier. More with Adam Hoge when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and joining us is Adam Hoge, who's been sharing this story. And you decided recently to go public. Not a lot of people want everyone to consume the details of something as scary as finding out that your child has some. And do you call it a disorder? Do you say it's a disability? I don't even know the language yet that you guys are using.
I mean, I guess technically it's a syndrome.
Syndrome? Okay.
But yeah, you know, it was something that I think it took a couple years to kind of definitely decide to do. It was maybe just sort of wait. Part of it was I needed to educate myself, my wife too. I mean, we needed to, certainly we can read and listen to doctors and inform ourselves that way. But, you know, to actually experience what James is going through and some of the issues, to kind of understand some of the hurdles he was going to have to get over, was really kind of what I wanted to get through before we, you know, went public with this. But the biggest reason why I did was, getting back to what I was just talking about in the last segment, was, you know, I'm sure there's so many other parents that kind of went through what we did, and just getting kind of bombarded with this news that of something that we've never heard of. And it, you know, we went through the numbers, and it really is the most common genetic syndrome that really no one's ever heard of, because so many people haven't. And I just think it's important that, because there's so many stories that I've come across and even just heard in the last few weeks of parents who had young children that just kind of had health issues from, you know, age 1, 2, 3. Sometimes, you know, it didn't even get diagnosed until, sometimes it doesn't get diagnosed till they're teenagers. There's even cases where adults get diagnosed with 22q. It takes that long sometimes. So if there's parents out there that maybe haven't been able to get answers for some of their young kids' health problems, this is something to at least know about and maybe to get tested for, because it could help manage the issues that those kids are going through.
Right, because a lot of times when you are struggling, when you have a child, the people don't have any answers, you kind of get to this point where you go, okay, well, now we'll just handle what's in front of us, because you think that you've taken every pathway. But you, like you mentioned, again, in what you've written and what you've shared with us tonight, is that it, by almost happenstance, you had a specialist up there in Wausau who noticed that his mouth was small. And I read that you're like, hey, back off. He's a preemie. Of course his mouth is small.
I mean, he could fit like in my hand when he was born. Of course he's got a small mouth. I mean, that was our reaction.
Right. And what happened in those first few weeks, in the first few months, you know, after he was born and the diagnosis? What did you guys go through?
So, I mean, there were some early feeding difficulties, which James is still kind of going through a little bit, with thin liquids. He can eat food just fine, but that's something he's been going through, and that started, you know, from the time he was born. He was struggling to take bottles right away, and that, I think, contributed to this doctor's curiosity.
Right.
He also had a heart defect, which they knew about the second he was born. Because as soon as they listened to him, they heard that, and that is a very common complication with 22q, and so it all kind of added up, and I think that led to them doing this testing. And then the second, you know, as soon as we got this diagnosis, the next day he was getting transported back down to Chicago, and taken to Lurie Children's Hospital, where he's just had some unbelievable care. Because you do need to see all these different specialists to kind of tackle each and every issue that you might come across. So he sees specialists for his feeding issues. He sees, you know, the cardiologists. And eventually that led to the surgery that he had a couple weeks ago, because unfortunately congenital heart defects are common with 22q.
And they had told you that this was something that eventually was going to require surgery, and that had to be looming, you know, down the horizon. You just kind of, you know, you know that day has to come, and part of you dreads it a little bit. I mean, I'm guessing tremendously.
So James spent 2 months total in the NICU before we were able to take him home. And it was towards the end of that when they kind of did a scan that really showed what was going on with his heart and his aorta around there. And actually what it showed, not to get too complicated here, but it showed that his aorta was going the wrong way.
Right.
And essentially it was fused with another ligament on the other side and was basically forming a ring around his esophagus and his trachea. And if you think about a kid growing, it's like a ring around your finger. Your hand's going to grow, but that ring isn't, right? So it's going to squeeze it a little bit more. And so over time, you know, they told us right then and there, this is not something that's threatening his life. But as he grows, it's something that we're going to have to take care of. And actually, we want him to grow, because the older he gets, the safer the surgery is. And originally, it said 18 months. He's now way over 18 months. He's 2.5. And they just decided in the last couple months that this was something that it was time to take care of. So, yeah, this has been hanging over us for a long time, and we knew it was going to come. And it finally had to be taken care of a couple weeks ago. It was a hard week. It was a 6-hour procedure. You know, as parents, you're freaking out the whole time.
Sure.
But we had a lot of love
no
and
doubt.
Support, especially because this was right after we decided to go public with his story, and all that love and support from Facebook and social media was unbelievable. Helped us get through all of it. And now James is running around the house again. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's, I know. And if you go to Adam Hoge's Facebook page, it's H-O-G-E, you can follow some of James's story. And you can also find out about 22Q Family. I know that you posted your story. They shared it as well on their site. And it has to be reassuring. I know that when I connect with other families, and when they learned a little bit about my son, there is something about knowing you're not the only one. And one of the parents posted that their son is 25 now, has a degree, and because when your son was born, they told you that they didn't know if he'd ever be able to eat on his own, if he would need constant care, and he has surpassed so much of that, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing that, you know, we've learned, and I want to stress to parents out there too. I mean, I don't like to say that these issues can be cured, but they can be fixed. In some of them can. Like, for instance, this vascular ring is what it's called, that he had operated on. I mean, technically his anatomy is a little bit different now, but it's been repaired enough so that, you know, the blood flow from his heart and his aorta is how it's supposed to be. So, you know, technically that's sort of been fixed and should be okay the rest of his life. And I think that's the important thing. There's therapies, you know, OT, PT, speech therapy that he's
yep.
been through.
Sure. No, I know the rotation, believe me. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you have in-home therapy? Because that always cracked me up when they would come over and I would, it means you have to clean the house for somebody else. Do you guys have in-home therapy?
We were going three days a week there for a while.
Yeah.
But he's graduated from the physical therapy.
Congratulations.
He's pretty much done with the occupational therapy. And so right now it's the speech therapy, which is also pretty common to have speech delay.
Right.
And sometimes it takes till they're three or even four before they start speaking. And I think that's kind of what we're going through now. But again, it's something that you get therapy for. And in most cases, it just takes them a little bit longer, but he should be talking fine.
And this is James's, is this going to be his second Christmas or third?
This would be his third Christmas.
His third Christmas. And every Christmas has to have been so precious for you guys. I mean, going through what you've gone through, it makes it more magical, doesn't it?
It really has, and I think with the surgery here and this last, you know, the craziness of the last few weeks, it's going to be a special one, and, you know, he's starting to understand who Santa Claus is, so that makes it even better and harder.
For children and families like yours, I want to wish you absolutely the most blessed season, and thank you so much for sharing your story. Again, we've been talking to Adam Hoge, who you know from so many of our sports segments, including The Beat, and all the Bears coverage, and all the the fact that you're a Sox fan, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But I was going through your timeline and saw that great picture of you and your dad at the World Series in 2005. But it's been great learning more, not only about your story, but getting to know you better. And for parents, again, like you and your wonderful wife, who I know this had to be so scary for, being a mom like her, do me a favor and give her a big hug and a kiss for me tonight.
I will do that, Patty. And thanks so much for letting me talk about this with you, and not just on the air right now, but also off the air too.
Oh, anytime.
Conversations have helped.
Oh, anytime. You know, it's not something that we ask for or ever think that we could possibly do, but you do find out how much stronger you are than you ever imagined. So. Thank you, Adam.
And like we talked about last week, it's instinctual. You just do it.
Yeah,
you don't even think about
it. Yeah, there's no second guessing yourself. You're in it. There's no way around it except for taking care of your kid and your family. Well, Adam, thank you so much. And any time, by the way, this is not a one and done, oh, we talked about it already kind of thing. We want to know about James and we want to know about other families like him, like yours, going through whether it's 22Q or just, you know, diagnosis that you didn't expect and you don't think you can handle it. You can. You're not the only one.
Yeah, well, I hope we can continue the story because I hope it just brings hope to other parents, too.
Oh, no doubt about that. Thank you so much. Get some rest, will you?
Thanks, Patty.
You got to be tired. Thank you so much. It's Adam Hoge. Find him on Facebook and, of course, right here on WGN. More after this on 720. It's at WGN, like I said. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Thursday night. Again, I want to thank Adam Hoge for sharing that very personal and important story about his son, James, who is... Senator Dan Katowski joins me in studio, and families like Adams and James and so many like us around the state, you fought so hard in Springfield, and now you continue to fight hard for families and for children who really deserve an opportunity in life. And this really is, look, it's a holiday season. People are, as I mentioned earlier, shopping and stressing out about the perfect meal and the perfect gift. And for some people, it's really about seeing tomorrow be a better day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know,
mm-hmm.
about making it through the night, dealing with the really intense stress of what happens next can mm-hmm. be so scary. And if you can have a few minutes, a few moments, maybe even longer of magic in this holiday season, it really means something because you see that firsthand with the Child Serve and the kids that you help and the adults that help them, too. It really doesn't really have that both that double benefit of the people you work with.
So that's one of the things we worked so hard on. This year was to make our holiday toy drive even more comprehensive and to really truly address the needs of the kids in our care. So this year we had 1,000 children who were taken care of at Christmas for the gifts. And then here's a distinction I want to make, though. It's like, and you think about the listeners out there, the Child Service, the organization I work for, every child, our goal was to have $40 spent per child. And when you think about that, most families, I think they probably spend a little bit more than that,
sure.
Right?
Right.
But we wanted to make sure that during a very unpredictable time and a time that's rife with trauma for the kids, it brings up a lot of, you know, memories,
sure.
Bad memories about things that have gone on in their life. We want to make sure that this is something predictable. They go to a holiday party and they get a gift, and people put on a dinner for them, and they feel good that there's someone out there that cares about them. Now there's a part of them inside that feels also bad because they're not with their families.
Sure.
Right? Even though it was a
nothing out of their own. Yeah, it's out of their control.
Even though it was an experience that wasn't necessarily positive, it's all they knew, right?
Sure.
And so, but, you know, so we work very hard to kind of navigate this. And just the other day we were trying to have, you know, my wife was trying to put a gingerbread house parties on for kids at risk. And they build a gingerbread house and they decorate it with a house with candy. It's just an awesome thing. She's doing it for the kids in the neighborhood. And my wife's name is Ann, and she's been doing this, and she did it for UCAN, ULIC Children's Advantage Network, and she was doing it for Child Serve. But we had to cancel one of the gingerbread house parties, and we're going to have it at another point because there was one of the girls in our group homes was just experiencing just a lot of emotional trauma, and she was kind of a danger to herself and other people. And so we had to figure out a way to, like, okay, let's step back and make sure everything's taken care of and all the kids are taken care of. And then we're going to have the party another day. They're still going to get the presents and all that other stuff. But you think about this. A lot of things you take for granted. Now, I mean, and think of all these families when people are, you know, they struggle. Even families that are together, there are things that come up during the holidays and they're difficult and they're hard. Just imagine growing up in a house where your father wasn't around ever, or your mom was around and she was struggling with substance abuse, or neither of your parents were around and they're both in prison or whatever. And so, I mean, what you're talking about, just to have these moments where a child, a teenager can exhale and think, okay, I'm just not going to worry about anything. I'm going to open up a gift. I'm going to feel good in this moment. I'm going to eat some quality food, right?
Right.
And I have some time to enjoy it. Like the other day, I have this good friend. He's an NBA referee. And he and his wife, when he's in town, he leaves two tickets and he has for our kids. And they get to sit underneath the basket at the Bulls game.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And this is something most people don't experience. But our kids get to be treated like kings and queens for a night just to be at the Bulls game.
They have to be somewhere else.
Great seats.
Yeah.
It's just, so that's the memory. The positive stuff.
And it's creating memories, too. And you mentioned the traumas and the past Christmases. Because, you know, people from all walks of life have something in their past that perhaps, you know, pops up. This is an intense time of year. Right. This is where people feel loneliness. Mm-hmm. They feel, whether it's despair or when you miss somebody. I remember my first Christmas without my dad. Right. That's something that people are going through, is their first Christmas without somebody important, somebody who is there for every single Christmas or for the important ones. And that's not some people suffer in silence. And you're taking care of kids who, you know, in their development, in their, you know, the first memories they have mm-hmm. of Christmas may not have been the most joyous. And you have to start trying to guide them in the path of, you know, tomorrow's going to be better.
Right, right, you know? Right. Yeah, and I just, you know, tonight was our men's shopping night, our annual men's shopping for the Katowski men. And we were out at Old Orchard Westfield. We do it every year. We get together.
Good day for
dinner.
It. It warmed up today. It was balmy almost.
It also makes it, we just have so much fun. My boys were acting out as we walked in. I said, listen, this is one of my favorite nights of the year. So you're not going to do this. You're not going to just.
Your dad come with you?
Maggiano's. So yeah, I was standing in front of Maggiano's and they're in the middle of the road. And I said, stop.
What do you mean they're in the middle of the road?
The middle, like where people are driving in before they get in the parking lot.
Yeah.
They're driving. And I said, stop. Get over there on the sidewalk. Turn around. I said, this isn't going to happen tonight. This is one of my favorite nights of the year. We go out to eat with my dad and my brothers and my nephews, and we get together and we laugh and then we shop. not a lot of shopping, but we talk about what we need, you know, needs to be bought for.
Right.
Who do you have in the grab bag list? And it's just every, you know, my dad unfortunately wasn't feeling well. He had to leave early. But just to spend time with him every year, that we all look forward to it, and we all look forward to bonding with each other. But it also makes me think about that. I was on the way here, and I was like, you know what? This is such a, it can be such a wonderful time, but also you think about all these other people who are struggling and have challenges,
yeah.
and they want to spend that time. They want to have that connection. So, I mean, if you're out there and you're going through a difficult time right now, you know, I think it's there are people out there who care, who want to make sure that you are lead a better life, and that's why, or make sure that your life is of a better quality,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it's so important these conversations you have about how we met, right? And how we met, and one of the
which was the Epilepsy Foundation.
Epilepsy Foundation, right. And one of the saddest things about our state right now is that it's not as persuasive as it used to be when a program or a service is not funded. Like, there's been so much carnage in our state.
I know.
There's been so much suffering that people are almost practically numb to it. And the thing is, how do we make this more compelling? How do we make this more compelling so people actually get off the dime and realize that you know, our elected officials, they need to move now, right? And now is the time not to rest on their laurels. Now is the time that's like, okay.
What next?
What next? And how do we, what how can we do? Mm-hmm. How can we help?
What can we do? How can we help?
Yeah.
312-981-7200. What can we do? How can we help? Maybe there's someone tonight that needs something. What can we do? How can we help? And we've got Senator Dan Katowski in studio with us coming up after midnight. We've got Dr. Daphne Scott, who will also have some words of encouragement, unless she's, you know, in a bad mood. Maybe, who knows? I can't assume that a positivity expert's going to be in a good mood. That's presumptuous of me.
No, I'm counting her picking me up.
Or kicking you out. I don't know. More after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. The singing stylings of Senator Dan Katowski are left off the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Esmeralda Leon joins us for a little bit. I don't know if you have to do a show prep for you and John Hansen, but I love
your... No, we did that very much ahead of time.
Very much ahead of time?
We're
what
ready.
What is very much ahead of time? Like days?
I start like Monday.
Do you?
Very I start good. Looking for stuff because I get very nervous.
So what's coming up on the show tonight?
We are talking, with Tom Britton. He's a, as he calls himself, a freak show science clown.
Okay.
I believe.
I'm just a freak show. I'm not a science clown. I'm a walking freak show of emotions.
Did that person just keep just adding words on?
freak show, science clown, happy man.
Connoisseur,
I think chef. Science clown.
Mathlete.
He probably is a mathlete. He does, so he does freak show-esque things.
Like fire eating?
Yes.
He has oh,
saw that
like
video.
That.
Yes, that video.
Oh, nice.
He does fire eating. We were there, me and Dan Sugar, the producer of a Nick DiGilio show, we were there last week. We laid on a bed of nails. What else?
Wait, you
I got to step on Tom Britton's face.
Wait, let's stop. I don't know which one to go with now. Stepping
so
on someone's face?
So on the bed of nails, okay, I got to lie on a bed of nails. Me and Dan both got to try it.
And how
it's a bit prickly.
It's not something you would
so
take a nap
like,
for.
Is it more diffuse? Is it spread out? Is
it's
that
a bed.
Why it doesn't hurt
it's like
as
a
much?
Bed.
Yeah. I know, but it doesn't like...
The concept is that you don't get pierced because you're sort of like,
right.
evenly spread out.
Right.
Science.
That's
science. What he... Ooh. So this is what he does. He does all these freak show-esque things and he explains the science behind them.
So you
he has a show called
face.
Freak Show and Tell. Yeah. He does a...
isolate that. So you stepped on his face.
He does a glass walking thing, but he also does a thing where he lays down on the glass. His face is in the glass, and then someone steps on his head, and I got to step on his head. And he's okay. He's completely fine.
Did he have like a foot mark? Would you have your shoe on?
Yeah, I had my boots on.
Okay.
And he's perfectly fine.
So he's
in science.
Glass.
And I know what
he was in a glass.
I know you're going to interview him later, but I mean, mistakes have to be made before you perfect this kind of performance, right?
I'll ask him.
Like heel marks in his
right.
Cheeks.
I mean, there has to.
I'll
be,
ask him, but it's
stiletto.
You know science.
He I know
trusts science to save his face.
Yeah, but even Madame Curie had a couple mistakes too. Along the way where she wasn't quite sure how this was going to turn out. You know,
I mean,
radiation.
I love
and
that
stuff.
You went to Madame Curie. That was huge.
Marie Curie.
So. Yeah. impressive.
Yes, Madame. Madame. I think it's Madame.
Wasn't it Madame Marie Curie?
Yes. I think back in the day,
in France, maybe you had to say France,
Madame.
I don't know where we've gone. I am loving Esmeralda's Christmas sweater.
Oh, thank you.
Sweater.
Isn't it adorable ugly?
It is adorable ugly.
It's a penguin, which has been stretched out because it's on me.
Now, did you buy the sweater to be an ugly sweater? Because it's not ugly. It's adorable.
I know, but you can't really walk around with a sweater. It has a penguin with a Santa hat, and then there's a little...
It's a pom-pom. It's a 3D hat.
So. Right.
Well, this year has been, the ugly sweater trend has grown and grown to where this year there's the ugly Christmas suits now.
Oh, really? Like I didn't know that was the thing.
Oh, now there's like full-fledged suits.
I've seen them, but I didn't know that. Like,
oh, yeah, there's a whole thing now. There's a whole.
We had an ugly sweater competition.
And how'd you do? I'm guessing you did really well.
I did not. I had just
Oh, it's a sweater that has to be.
How right ugly on, was it? Oh.
There were some seriously ugly sweaters. I mean, just like, I mean, you have the little, like, the ball at the end of the hat, but these were like parts of animals sticking
coming out,
of the sweaters.
Like leaping off of the artwork. Like, yes,
now, at one point, like were they good?
Deer face. No, they were never good. No, they were just, I think they were purchased because they were thought to be festive.
Right, thematic. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. But
well, that's the thing now, is that, and people have been talking about this, that it used to be that you'd have these holiday festive sweaters, but then now they started making them to be ugly sweaters.
Right.
There's like a whole industry of ugly sweaters.
Right. It's very strange. Yeah, it is. But it's like, it was amazing how many people actually had them.
Everyone has. You ask your mom,
and yeah. She's got the sweater vest.
I had some big ones in the 80s that had like reindeer all over it.
Oh, did you?
I thought it was so cool. I don't think I ever had
a
cool sweater.
I almost feel like I waited too long. Like 5 years ago, I should have gotten my holiday sweater, but now that I haven't, it's too late to get one. You know what I mean?
Now it's blasé.
Exactly.
There was a girl in college who showed up at one of our parties and she was wearing one of those reindeer sweaters and we all serenaded her.
But did you really?
Dashing through the snow. She said to me, I never wore that sweater again.
Oh, she was traumatized by your singing. I could see that. More for this on 720 WGN. Oh, it's dance party all night. By the way, that is Tom Hush, who is producing in the booth tonight. Craig is on vacation and on the line with us. I'm guessing she's dancing just like Esmeralda and Sarah Katowski and I. Are you dancing, Dr. Daphne Scott?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was bouncing my head. Some good jams.
I feel like the four of us, the five of us, would have a great time at a disco.
Oh, yeah.
I think the entire WGN family. I think
they call it clubs now. Disco. If you want to go back to the 70s and go to a disco, let's do that.
Are there discos anymore?
I don't know if they're calling that.
Well, I don't think they call them discos.
That's okay. But I would go to a disco with you.
All right, then.
Yes.
Let's make it.
And Dr. Daphne, of course. And Esmeralda.
Of course.
That was a done deal.
Dr. Daphne, where are you in the world? Where in the world is Dr. Daphne Scott right now?
I am actually in Healdsburg, California. I don't know if you know where that is, but it's just outside of Sonoma.
Okay. Oh, you're in wine country.
I've been there.
I am.
What are you driving around the rolling hills of California? I've driven that part. I've driven that part of the country. It's beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. It's my part of my holiday renewal. Taking care of myself through the finishing out the 2016. It was a long year for me, 2016. So. It was just a time to get away and take care of myself. So it is beautiful out here and quiet, Patty. Very quiet. There's no sirens.
Wait, why'd you single me out, Patty? It's very quiet. I'm allowing you to talk to me during this time.
It's not
but
noisy.
It's not chattery, Patty.
Like nails on a chalkboard.
Well, I'm saying it more in reference to the city, to being in the city.
I know.
You could relate to the city, to the sounds of the city.
I can't. Yes. I was in California last week and out my window were the hills of Hollywood. It was beautiful there. Not quite the same as where you are. But, I think that let's say people aren't able to get away and go someplace quiet. I bet you have some ideas for the survival tips to get through the holidays. And not look, not everybody struggles at the holidays, but you know, I think that there are people who get some anxiety built up, whether it's trying to find the right gifts and making the perfect meal, setting the bar a little bit high. That seems to be a downfall for a lot of people, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, Patty, well, first of all, when I heard something you said, you know, we're going to talk to our positivity expert. I don't know if she's going to be, you know, maybe she's not. Maybe she's not in a good mood tonight. I don't know. And I was really...
I don't know. I don't want to assume things.
Well, exactly. And I think you are hitting the nail on the head right there because, you know, we have all these assumptions and stories and just exactly what you said, you know, ideals about what we think the holidays should look like. Like we've all stepped into some Norman Rockwell painting. And, you know, we're out of one. And, you know, that right there is what really sets us up for sort of these expectations. And then life, and many times, most of the time, doesn't measure up to sort of this picture we painted in our mind. And that can create a lot of frustration for us. You know, I call it sort of shoulding on ourselves that life
the
should
what?
Be showing up. Shoulding.
Shoulding. She said shoulding. Should as a ing verb. Yeah, we all. By the way, that was some fast running.
You like that?
That was a heart attack.
Shoulding. Should. That's. Should hold on. You have to articulate. Shoulding. She did. I knew that she wasn't saying something dirty, but
a
tiny corner of my brain went what.
What?
Yeah, so
what?
So shoulding as a gerund, which is not the way you usually think of should as
gerund. I love it.
I love the English language.
Literally.
So shoulding meaning that I should do this, I should be doing that.
Yes. Yes, I should be doing that. I should be buying the perfect gift or you know, here's one, I should buy any gifts at all. You know, so I think people really being able to navigate the holidays, like letting go of a lot of these shoulds and coming back to, I heard, you know, Dan talking about him just spending time with the men in his family, you know, that's an important thing to him and getting to that's, we sort of narrow down what's ultimately important. And you're exactly right. I've heard, I was coaching with a woman the other day and she's talking about how she, you know, I'm really stressed out. I got to make family, you know, dinner for 20 people and everyone's coming to my house. And she kind of gets to the end. She's like, I just hope I really get to spend time with my kids that are home. And I thought, well, you know, if you come back to really what's important, you know, cooking dinner for 20 people, that's a lot. You know, what would it look like if you have it catered?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because I am torn. And this is what I've done for anyone who is, it's Thursday, you know, Christmas Eve is in 2 days and you're still trying to figure out your plan for the meal, whether it's Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I took my husband's advice and exactly what you're saying. Steve went and ordered some pre-made meals at someplace near us. And then I'm also going to complement that with, I'm going to make, I'm not kidding, I'm making chorizo lattes on Christmas Eve. I just found a recipe for chorizo lattes. I love lattes and I'm going to make both, chorizo and sans chorizo. But because I'm curious about this now, but
I'm curious about it myself.
I promise to make them for you as well if they turn out well. I'm not going to share them with you if they're terrible. But to that point, thanks. I think that you can give over some of that control, feeling like you have to control every single element, whether it's making the meal or getting exactly the right presents. I'm going to make a couple things as side dishes, and then have a prepared meal, sort of a catered situation going on this weekend. Otherwise, I'll make myself
crazy. Great.
Although I will say, cooking everything for Thanksgiving. Was satisfying, but it took me like 16 hours to do everything.
And maybe that's your one holiday, you know, you do something like that. But I think people setting realistic expectations for themselves, I think, is really the place to start, and letting go of the idea that, you know, life and holidays should look a certain way and that we put all this unnecessary pressure on ourselves and then we don't enjoy ourselves. And, you know, really keeping it in perspective. The other part of that was just, you know, really setting things up. I want to say a little bit about, you know, my family, God love them, and how we really started to navigate this about 7 or 8 years ago. I realized, you know, I'm buying all these Christmas presents and I'm just dropping money left and right, buying stuff for like my brother who can, you know, buy whatever he wants for himself. You know, it's like, what's the point of this? And finally got my adult members of my family to say, you know, we're not doing that anymore. You know, we'll draw one name, we'll buy for one person and that's it. And it just relieves so much. It was like, if you want to buy for somebody else, that's fine. But it just relieves so much stress from everyone's lives to just let go of that sort of like, this has to be a certain way.
I have a contrary situation. I want to ask for your opinion. Cause I, by the way, we are talking to Dr. Daphne Scott. If you have a particular issue you want to bring up to her, 312-981-7200. So I think I need to find a way to let go of resentment. and I'll be very specific. Mm. I have listen to Daphne. Which one is it? Which resentment are we going to talk about, Patty? I have 5 sisters-in-law, right? So my in-law, sisters-in-law. Yeah. And Steve, before we got married, before we had kids, he ended up having about 13 nieces and nephews by the time all was said and done, I think by 2000, ranging in ages from infant to, I think, like maybe 18 years old. And Steve would buy gifts for every single one, for all 13 of them, right?
Okay.
And for all of them. And after when we had Griffin that year, everyone went, you know, there's so many nieces and nephews. We shouldn't have to buy for everybody. Why don't we just do a grab bag? And I was like, hold on a second. Are you trying to tell me after Steve just spent 18, 19 years of buying for all these nieces and nephews, now that we have kids, that deal is gone? And it's been a while now. Griffin is now 13 years old. So 13 Christmases, I'm like, and look, to be fair, like some of the sisters do buy him something and Declan individually. But I mean, those are those kind of like those family dynamics, especially if you're coming in as an in-law, that you go, seriously, is this how we're doing it?
Yeah. Where's my payback here?
Yes.
I've been doing this for 18 years.
Is it you have to not have that? You have to not have the payback thing, right?
Do you still have that?
Right.
The resentment? Do you still have it?
I'm bringing it up on the radio to hundreds of thousands of people.
No, but there's something that's like latent, but it was like that something's like, it's like when you go to the holidays, you see, you're like, gosh, where are those gifts?
It may or may not have come up. Like the resentment may have come up along the way in other situations, you know, where, yeah, it bubbles up. So, I mean, should I have said something like, you know, year one and said, but I never did.
Who could have forecasted that though, right?
Right. It was, right. But let's say you have something now 13 years in, obviously I should let go of it. If I had to do over again, should I have said something that first year or just come to peace with it? Obviously I should now, but that horse has run so far to the stable.
I'm always a fan of making a request. You know, I'm always a fan of coming to things quickly and not carrying things around. You know, you have like an unsaid or an unspoken, and that never helps in relationships. You know, it's sort of kind of like, it's like a false way of approaching relationships is not saying what's true for you in the moment. And what's true for you in the moment doesn't have to be like that people are jerks. It can just be simply like, hey, I know everyone's deciding this, but I have a request. I'd like 1 year of, you know, continuing this now that we have Griffin, or, you know, some way of speaking about it that feels good to you and doesn't necessarily derail 13 relationships. So I'm always a fan of saying things sooner than later. Absolutely. Because then you do walk around with it. Then you have an unsaid. And what happens when we have an unsaid or an unspoken is we just start to disconnect from the relationship over time. So you can take that for what it's worth, Patty.
No, I agree.
If there's still truly an unsaid for you.
Well, because it's right? also... But initially I was like, I shouldn't make a big deal out of this. It's about gifts and it's about the kids and it's about, right?
See, so did you see how you should it on yourself?
I should have. See, I should have on myself. You're making my producer Tom so very should have. I'm shooting. He's sweating bullets back there.
But you see how you did, like, I shouldn't say anything, or I shouldn't be upset, or I shouldn't, you know, I should feel different. And those types of, you know, shoulds that we give ourselves are not, they're not helpful, right? They're not, yeah, they're not. So there's that. And then there's part of, yeah. And, you know, you can let go of it whenever you want, because, you know, what are you getting from hanging on to it? And if there's something that needs to be said, by all means, I think, you know, say it.
All right.
I'm a big fan of making a request. I do want to say this, you know, I do believe that there's a way that we sort of skip over, you know, what it is that we sort of want or want to experience, and we don't make a request. You know, yeah. I find this over and over again with people, that there's just some simple ways that things can be handled by just making a request, and that the request doesn't have anything to do with the other person. It's just like, hey, here's something that I'd like to have happen just because it's me that needs this to happen. So I'm a big fan of making a request.
I may need a private session with Dr. Daphne Scott with some of the stuff that I'm going to deal with over the holidays.
Anytime. Somebody need about 7.
She has spent hours on the phone with me talking me off of some cliffs before. So.
do you have any time?
Yes, we're going to take a break, and you're next.
Okay, good.
See, I know. Wait a minute. I have one.
I want to save money on the sessions.
This is a consultation.
If you want to do it live on the radio, then it even discount.
There you go. More after this with Dr. Daphne Scott, 312-981-7200. We will take you ahead of Senator Jankatowski if you jump on. More after this. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We're dancing in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are joined by Senator Jankatowski. Esmeralda Leon's in the studio. Tom Hush behind the glass producing the show tonight. Sweating bullets as Dr. Daphne Scott says things like shoulding.
You guys are killing me.
I know.
You're hurting.
I know. And this isn't even, we're in the Allstate. It's not even couple skate. I don't know what I'm saying. Senator Katowski, you had a question for Dr. Daphne Scott, our positivity expert.
Yeah, let me. I was
couple skate.
I was
foxtrot.
I was all overwhelmed. I was crying there for a while. Now I'm back. So I was curious, what kind of advice you give to people for being able to take care of themselves so that after the holidays they don't suffer from any kind of post-holiday depression, because there's so many events that people go to, and maybe they may feel obligated to go to a lot of different events. So how do you deal with people? I have a sister-in-law who's very good at this, and it always I always struggle with it. It's like sometimes she just doesn't show up for some of the family events. She's like, she just needs to take care of herself. And I'm like, I need to take care of herself. I'd like to take care of myself. But she's really good at that, right? I'm like, I'm here, you know?
So you have resentment. You have a request, don't you?
It's also, she's really good at taking care of herself. And she's
and knowing when to say no.
Yes. And I think, I would say, one of my own personal challenges is that throughout the holidays, I go to a lot of different things. And then all of a sudden January comes, it's like, I don't think I was eating as well as I could have, not exercising, not getting enough sleep, you know what I mean? And not taking time just to take care of myself. So what kind of advice do you give for someone like me?
Yeah, well, one of the pieces of advice is spend more time with this woman that you're talking about.
This person that says no to a lot of things.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. That would be one piece.
That's good advice, yes.
Yeah, you know, surrounding ourselves with people who really can take care of themselves. And again, you know, I think the big thing is we you know, I think there's two things, you know, depending on our personalities. But one of the things is, you know, we can build up the idea that, you know, we tell ourselves stories about what, you know, like I have to show up at this event, right? I'm obligated. And we create the sort of the story, the structure around it. And it isn't true, but we start to believe that it's true. And so if we can start letting go of a little bit of that we have to do things a certain way, I think that's helpful. And secondly, I think picking one thing, one way that you are going to take care of yourself through the holidays, and that can be a million and one things, but whatever's important to you and works well, I think that's really a good idea for people navigating it. And then after the holidays, knowing that they need to take care of themselves too. And then thirdly is, you know, what's it costing you? You know, when we start talking about not sleeping, when we talk about, you know, we're not eating well and not exercising and taking care of ourselves, you know, what's the real cost? And most people don't pay attention to that closely enough. You know, what's the real cost on the back end? So if we can bring awareness to those things, I think that's really helpful. And awareness really is the key. It is the grounding of all things. If we have awareness to it, then we can try to change it. Some people just aren't even aware, to your point, until it's, you know, after the holidays. We wonder why we feel so horrible and we've gained 20 pounds and, you know, we haven't been taking care of ourselves. We really have to be aware of it first.
And it's kind of almost a philosophical approach of like, if I'm going to do this, then what is going to be the cost? So it's an if-then situation.
Right,
and that's hard to do, right? Because you also want to enjoy yourself. So you don't want to be critical. You also don't want to be critical of yourself or of others around you.
Well, it's like what you said, Daphne, what's the one thing that you could do to take care of yourself? That's not as overwhelming as thinking like, I have to do this, this, and this, and this to feel good.
Right.
If there's one thing I could do to make myself, that's the one thing that I'm in control of that I can make sure is done while trying to, you know, meet the needs of other people.
Sure.
Or just going to a lot of different events that you feel you want to and you enjoy, you feel obligated to, but there's also, like you said, there's an element of there's an impact on that, right?
There's a cost.
Well, it's not only a cost to ourselves, but it's cost to other people to the other people in our lives too. You know, I think when we start showing up at places out of obligation, I mean, how engaged are we really? You know, we're not. People don't get access to our best energy when we're sort of just showing up because we think we should, right? So I think, you know, there are a lot of ways to navigate this and everybody's different for sure. So I think it's coming at it with sort of some broad strokes. But look at the effect that it has as well when you start seeing a person who is taking care of themselves. you know, you kind of start to look at that person like, whoa, okay, how is she doing that? Or how is he doing that? And, you know, what is
that?
I
get angry and jealous.
Well, this is one of the best ways to know, actually, some of the best ways to know that you're not taking care of yourself. It's such a good way to know when you have that resentment come up about another person who's leaving the party at 10 and you're still sitting there at 11, you know, not wanting to be there. It's such a great way to know.
Well, yeah, and when great. And if there also you also have to put yourself in the space when you when we talk about obligations and I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, then why do you have to? Why, you know, what is putting you in that place? Is it because
absolutely,
you know, someone's in town or you might not see someone again? I mean, those are kind of the you also have to create the idea that sometimes out of thin air to go, I'm there for other people too. And what's the value of that? Is that valuable enough for me to not feel resentful?
Right.
To not carry around hostility. I'm talking to myself right now. Don't carry any hostility. I'm not.
Excellent. It's an excellent perspective because I think that's the type of, I think going into the holidays, people are rushing the holidays. They don't often think, okay, what's my really, I know what we want to, we don't often talk about what we want to achieve from a frame of mind,
right?
Or how positive in the way we want to experience the holidays. I think oftentimes there isn't that forethought that goes into it. It's like, okay, we got Christmas coming up. What kind of gifts are we going to buy? And we got this party coming up. And what are we going to bring to the party? And it's not like, okay, what do I want to like?
And why?
Yeah, who I want to talk to, right?
Yes.
Who I want to spend time with, and why am I talking to this person in the corner, right?
Which so. is it harder for everybody this year? In whether it's because of politics or because of, you know, various things that are going on in family life. Do you guys feel like it's a little bit harder this year? Do you have more anxiety on certain levels?
I felt like Thanksgiving. I was pretty. I needed. I had a little bit of an edge to me. We typically get in political conversations. And I felt like, you know, one of my family members, one of my aunts was like, well, are we talking politics on Thanksgiving? I'm like, when do we not talk politics on Thanksgiving? And I was like, that's our thing. Cause we do, that's what we do. We talk politics.
Right.
And obviously she didn't want to talk politics, but also it was like, I always look at Thanksgiving. I'm like, okay, we do all our different things. And then we'll go for a good solid hour and we'll get into a lather and it's very, cathartic. To talk about it, right? But she didn't want it, you know? And I was like, I had like this, what do you mean? I want to talk politics. And
wow.
So, yeah. So yeah, I carried that with me with the election because I wanted to process it with people.
People, right.
Who were like-minded.
Taff was like, that might not be the safest thing for everybody to do.
No.
No. Well, and just what he said, you know, like-minded or, you know, exactly. I mean, again, this is all about taking care of yourself. And I do not engage with that in my family at all. And have it in years because it doesn't, it is not a productive conversation. And that was about 8 years ago. I said, and you know, again, it wasn't from a place of judgment or judging them per se. It was, I don't want to be a part of this. So here's what's actually true for me. And I left on Thanksgiving. I actually started to leave. And my mom's like, whoa, what's happening? And I said, well, the truth is, you know, you guys enjoy that. And if it's good for you, I don't enjoy it. It doesn't feel good to me. Everyone's yelling at each other. It's not constructive for me. And my mom's like, oh, I didn't realize. And I said, yeah, I said, and if you guys want to do that, that's great, but I don't want to be here. And so I'm going to go, you know, see a friend or do something else. And that worked really well. You know, again, that was a point of taking care of myself without judging them for who they were and what they wanted to do. And interestingly enough, the conversations really don't occur anymore. So, you know, whatever that is for them. So I think, again, you know, if that's cathartic and it's helpful for your family to participate in those conversations, then by all means, it's just, again, each individual has to take responsibility for taking care of themselves, for sure.
So there you go. Take care of yourself. We spent so much time worrying about everyone else. Take care of yourselves. Well, Daphne, we have to let you go. Go take care of yourself, will you?
I will. And you too.
In California, we look forward to – well, you know what? If we get a chance, maybe we'll do another phoner in the next couple weeks while you're traveling. If you're up for it.
I'd love it.
Excellent.
I'm totally up for it, always.
Miss you, Daphne.
I miss you, too. We'll see you guys soon.
By the way, the website for your podcast so people can hear more of your wonderful voice and insight.
Yeah, thank you. 3 W's, Daphne-Scott.com. And the podcast is The Super Fantastic Leadership Show.
The Super Fantastic Leadership Show. Wow. All the words. It's all the words.
All the words.
Go
the words.
Find all right. Daphne. Bye, Daph.
See you soon.
See
bye,
you later.
Guys. See you soon.
Happy New Year. Merry, merry. Joy, joy. We're on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Senator Dan Katowski, as he joins us every Thursday night. And actually, the way we started out was a segment called It Ought to Be a Law. And that's kind of transitioned as you've left your position as a senator in the state capital of Illinois. And, you know, and I think that the work that you've done has been so impactful and so meaningful and a direct impact on people's lives. So it's been fun to sort of be able to talk about a lot of other things on Thursday nights with you. And by the way, Esmeralda Leon also in studio with us. She'll be filling in for Nick D with John Hansen.
Yes.
In just a little bit. And on the line with us is our other Thursday night regular favorite, all those things. The political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Santis, all the way from Alabama, or as you like to say, God's country.
God's country. I'm here with a banjo on my knee, which is weird, but that's what they make you do.
We were just talking off the air about the show, the Andy Griffith Show, and I kind of now that you have a banjo, I need to know that you also have a jug of moonshine somewhere nearby.
It's hanging from my toe. You know, and Janine somehow turned into my cousin, and I'm married to her. And, yeah, it's weird.
And to our listeners in the South, we are completely joshing. We're like your cousins that you see at the holidays, and you go, oh, you again. Mm-hmm. That's all. That was all Scott. The opinions of Scott Santis did not reflect the I'm just teasing. It's all good. Hi, Scott.
Nice. How you doing?
I'm very well. Why are you in Alabama?
My sons and their wives live here. Now we still we actually still have a house down here, so we're all getting together for the holidays, and it's wonderful. You talk about a great tonic. Oh my gosh, to have spend time, you know, because you're about to head off with your family for a vacation, and I mean just spending time with your kids and you know with no agenda, no real constraints. You're not on a vacation or a tour of you know France or something. It's wonderful. It's a great tonic, and I really needed it, especially after 2016, which was quite a year.
It's not over yet. There's so much more that can happen in the next week or so. So many things, and that was going to be my question. As a political cartoonist, as somebody who is constantly having to consume news, and you are still working because I got in my email your latest cartoon.
Not just one, but two cartoons.
You got two cartoons.
Do
you shut down at all when it comes to you? Is there a day where you just go, I'm not going to listen to any news. I'm not going to have the radio on. I'm not going to have the TV on. I'm not going to go on social media. Do you get the opportunity to do that at all, or can you not stand doing that?
I I'm a junkie. I mean, I would do this stuff if I didn't have this job. So, no, I absolutely die. I unplug a little bit. I'm not as intensive. I certainly don't listen to the news stories and going, oh, gosh, how can I draw this? You know, wow, there's politicians making a fool of themselves. How can I make their nose even bigger? You know, I don't have to have those thoughts. But I do have to. Yeah, I love this stuff. So, yeah, I pay attention.
I'm just showing Senator Katowski your today's the state capitol a cartoon for Christmas, which is Santa pulling a big bag of coal for Illinois? Is that coming to us?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's what his little assistant is saying. So I'm not sure that's big enough. I mean, after all, this is the Illinois State House. We're entering another year where there's not a budget. I mean, it's so frustrating. Big bag of coal.
By the way,
the
other one. Go ahead. No, you go. You go first.
I was just going to say the Christmas cartoon, which I'm really kind of proud of because they're hard to do. Because I mean, you know, I've been doing this job for 35 plus years in various locales. I've obviously been at the Tribune for 7 of those, but I really kind of it's a skyline of our beautiful city, but you're obviously viewed from the south side, and there's a kid looking out the window. And the Star of Bethlehem, this is to run on Christmas day, and it just says, peace, please.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear, you know, WGN News, you know, well, we just broke 4 days drought of killings. And I was going, oh, my gosh, only 4 days. You pray for peace, and you pray for that kid looking out the window that his life is a little better in 2017. I sure hope so.
Well, and that is, you know, as we go into the holidays, something we've been talking about during the show tonight is, you know, if anything, I think I am trying to focus so much on my kids, on kids in our community. That is, I mean, this is kind of their time. It's all of our time to reflect, to celebrate, to be with each other, or to celebrate in whatever way that is for you. Maybe there are people who just, you know, I'm not going to say they're Scrooges, but some people either have to work or do their focus on other things. For me, it really does come down to the kids. By the way, I haven't had a chance to say this. I was at the, there's like an outlet mall in Rosemont, like that fashion designer mall. And there was a kid running down the mall. I would say like about 12, 13 years old, screaming, right? And people were like, shh, like they were mad at him. And I'm the mom of a kid with special needs. I just assume maybe he had like, you know, a disability or like Tourette's or something. But sure. He ran into a store, was screaming, and then you hear another, a woman start screaming, and it turned out, and I don't know the rest of the story because there was nothing I could do to help, but a little girl was missing. And yeah, so that was, I mean, I didn't see any, my, I have to assume that everything turned out okay because there haven't been any police reports. There hasn't been anything else, but like they were screaming all the way down the mall. And I thought at this time of year, I mean, your heart just stops when your child is missing for however amount of time. And I'm sure that everything turned out okay because again, there weren't any cop cars or there hasn't been anything on the news, but it was so bizarre. I thought, you know, what a scary moment. To, you know, be doing one thing, you're distracted, you're shopping, you've got one, you know, your older child taking care of your younger child. But to me, that's everything for the holidays. I focus on my kids, on the kids of the city, and I want so much for people to be able, like kids to have develop like wonderful memories of this time of year. And as you mentioned, Scott, there are communities in Chicago, across the country, and you know, some of your cartoons have been very dramatic. The Aleppo one was so simple and yet so direct. The red lines.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, we still, you know, in our own inhumanity. I mean, I have to admit, I'm a Scrooge. I have a hard time with the holidays.
Really?
I do. My mom, frankly, suffered from depression and wasn't treated, and the holidays were very difficult for her, and that made it difficult for us. And so I get a little blue. But okay. Janine, my wife, loves Christmas, and you know what? You know, my kids love it. And but yeah, there's moments during this holiday season. I was listening to you earlier,
to Daphne.
And it's tough.
I was wondering about that. Are you doing the things necessary to take care of yourself?
Oh gosh, no. No, I'm just, because I'm working. So I'm working, and then you have family stuff, and we just, like this evening, a friend of ours had he owns a restaurant, so he invited us a bunch of us over and a bunch of his friends and so we got to see old friends. So, you know, and that was the time when I was supposed to go for a long walk, and we went for a very short one. So no, I'm guilty of not taking very good care of myself during the holiday season.
Can you make a promise to yourself to take care of yourself? I'm not going to make you promise us. That's not, you know, no skin off our back, except that we want you to take care of yourself.
We really want that for you, Scott.
Well, thanks, Dan. I will try.
We're making him uncomfortable. He's fidgeting with something.
Sorry. Yes, I am. You're sharing
too much.
This is not an intervention, Scott.
Trust me, it's felt like that tonight.
Has it really?
Well, no, not really. It's felt like it's an open, Dr. Daphne, she was wonderful.
Anything can come up.
I feel like my holidays are going to be so much better now.
Especially when you heard that I'm carrying 13 years of resentment about Christmas presents.
Yes, we've all been sharing tonight, Scott. I mean, it's only appropriate that you would too. Don't hold back.
It's okay. It's all family here.
By the way, I think being a Scrooge is a misnomer. I think I don't think you're a Scrooge. I just think it sounds like you have some difficulties with the holidays. Not like you're not a giving person. You seem like a very giving person.
Well, I love is that Janine loves them, and the kids adore it. And so, I mean, typically, I think, and Patty can attest to this, people who go through tough times like that, you find the humor in it. I mean, I have maybe one of the funniest Christmas gifts stories around, in that my mom, God bless her, my dad was off doing whatever the hell he was doing. And so she said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a Hot Wheels track. Okay, so Christmas morning comes. There's a package there. Awesome. I rip it open. And she had bought the extension pack only, which consists of two straight tracks.
Right.
So with the tracks. You got the tracks without the cars.
It was a straightaway. So
that's awesome.
And you wanted the ones that went like up the wall and around, right? Or the loop to loops?
Oh, well, gosh, I would like TCR. To make a turn. You know,
total control racing.
And like to keep going, because if it's just a straight shot, you just have to go from one end to the other, and the car goes off the track.
I told this story this week, Scott. They talk about, okay, what was your most, your funny or traumatic memory from Christmas? And mine was, all I wanted for Christmas was this little mini stereo. It was a Sony stereo, right? And I opened it up, and then it wasn't a Sony. It was a Sony.
Oh, no.
It was a knockoff. I was like, Sony. And then my friends would come over. They're like, oh, cool. What's a Sony? I'm like, just shut up. Listen to it. I would put some Elvis on.
You're like trying to complete the O over the U.
State University, New York makes a, you know.
It's sunny. It's sunny. It's sunny.
Oh,
no. Yeah. Aww.
So, but you know what?
Our parents
I was
so hard.
Still happy.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Scott, what were you going to say, Scott?
Oh, I've just never heard of, what is it? I mean, what, that had to have been an off-brand, right? That
was if you ever had gone shopping on some of those like stores like on Devon Avenue, you can get like, you know, like kind of knockoff products, right? Like Pioneer was a big one, and you'd get, you know, Pioneer or something like that. Different kind of speaker.
Oh, man.
Instead of Apple, you get like Apple.
Yeah,
you know,
or Peach.
Like,
you don't know.
Peach.
Peach computer.
Peach computer. Macintosh is like Mercantish or something like that. Like,
dear.
What? It's like. You know.
We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. In studio is State Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. Esmeralda Liana is taking over at 2 a.m., filling in for Nick D alongside John Hansen. And on the line with us is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, who's spending time with his family down in Alabama, but spending time with his family on the air.
Yeah.
Can you hold on for another segment, Scott?
I'd love to.
Excellent.
Love to. Thank you.
Of course. More after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, Hawks fans, it's John Weideman, voice of the Blackhawks, here on 720 WGN. And on behalf of my family, I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. Hopefully you'll be happy, healthy, and prosperous in 2017.
Ugh, shoveling wet, heavy snow is the worst. So put down the shovel and visit Majestic Star Casino, Fridays in December. You could be one of 100 winners to receive a Toro snowblower, a brand new drawing each week. And while you're here, grab a bite to eat or an exotic drink at the all-new Majestic Chop House and Bar, open daily. Majestic Star Casino, voted number one in penny, nickel, and variety of slots. Let's gamble. Ratings based on 2016 Best of Slots magazine. Visit MajesticStarCasino.com for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
The Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is your source for exceptional eye care at affordable rates. As a full-service eye and vision clinic, they provide comprehensive eye exams, glasses, and contact lenses, and disease screenings and treatment. They also offer state-of-the-art technology and specialty services, including infant and children's eye exams, vision therapy, sports vision training, low vision rehabilitation, and traumatic brain injury testing and therapy. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic. Your family's home for health care.
All of us online. WGNRadio.com.
Placing a loved one in a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved one in return. Sadly, nursing home negligence is real and it's a serious problem. Neglect and abuse of the elderly happen every day. The law firm of Konasek & Dillon wants you to know that nursing home negligence can cause serious, life-threatening medical conditions like dehydration and malnutrition, fractures, infections, pressure sores, and even death. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Konasek & Dillon. The law firm of Konasek & Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Konasek & Dillon understands that entrusting a loved one to a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. Protect your loved ones. Call Konasek & Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Konasek & Dillon at 630-262-9655. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us on the line is Scott Stantis, who is the cartoonist, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. In studio, State Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. Esmeralda Leon, who is filling in for Nick D at 2 a.m. Joining her will be John Hansen from WCIU's You and Me in the Morning. And hey, I have a question for you, Scott. How was traveling to Alabama? Did you fly or drive down there?
We flew.
And how was your flight? I'm just curious. Some people hate being asked about their travel, but I travel so much that I'm sometimes curious about how it goes for other people as far as like getting...
It was,
Yeah, it was strictly uneventful. We we flew out of Midway, and it's a direct flight, and we live downtown, so we just walked over to the Orange Line and took it in, and it was
easier.
It was great.
Yeah, because for me it's a whole rigmarole. I mean, and even though I live like 15 minutes from O'Hare, depending on when we leave the house, if we leave, you know, during rush hour, it's such a mess. And,
right.
and I also have that sort of, I get a little cocky because I'm like, oh, we live close. And the next thing you know, I'm getting on the plane just before the doors close.
That's the illusion of closeness.
It is. Yeah. The closer you are, the longer you take to get there.
Wait a second. There's just like a whole single file line of cars.
Yes.
And there's no way over them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you TSA? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it was also one of those, you know, mornings where, you know, the news is terrible. The weather was, we walked to the train, it was 2 degrees below zero. Ugh. The news reports were, you know, we've had 700 flights canceled in the last 24 hours. And, you know, and we're going, oh, this is going to suck.
When did you fly? And, did you fly on Saturday or Friday? When did you fly?
We were going to fly. We're going to fly out Saturday, but I got the cold that everyone's been getting and was unable to move virtually. So we flew out Monday.
Oh, you have, I don't want, what is this cold you're talking about that everyone's getting? You just jinxed all of us. What did you?
I'm 800 miles away from you, so you're safe.
I know, but Senator Katowski saying that.
I had it.
Yeah, I'm finishing it off.
It's like SARS. It's rough.
It's like SARS.
Yeah, Patty, you sound like you're coming. Yeah, you sound like you're just getting over a cold yourself.
That's your Phoebe Buffay voice.
Is it my Phoebe Buffay? What does that even mean? No, I think I feel okay. I'm just a little,
okay.
Are you a little warm now, Patty?
I don't know anymore. Although now that I think about it, I'm feeling a little achy. That's just from CrossFit. Are you gonna have a chance to go for some walks in the warmer weather down in Alabama?
Yeah, in fact, over the weekend they're expecting the temperatures to be in the 70s. So yeah, nice. It's gonna be great.
Are you near Birmingham?
Yeah, we're in Birmingham.
Oh, you're in Birmingham. Do me a favor. If you get a chance, go to the zoo. I'm not kidding at all. I'm not kidding even a little bit.
What? Is there a package waiting for you?
Go to the zoo. Go to the cage marks elephant. There would be a box there waiting
for
you.
Yes, you're right. It did smack at that, didn't it? No, I meant it's kind of a do yourself a favor to see you. Oh, never mind. You've probably already been
there. Take care of yourself. Go to the zoo.
Go to the zoo. You've probably already been there, haven't you? Have you been to that zoo? I love that zoo.
Get yourself a latte before you go to the zoo.
Do me a favor. Get a peppermint mocha. Go for a stroll near the crocodiles.
Hang out with the animals. What are you?
I didn't realize how that sounded. Well, I'm feeling a little feverish now. I'm coming down with something, so I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Stop it. They also have a great children's museum there, but that's your kids are too old for that, aren't they?
They do. They've got I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Go do go do the sort of fun childlike things.
Do you like hot pretzels?
Get some cotton candy.
Get some cotton candy. And a hot dog maybe. Whatever it takes for you, Scott.
State parks here.
That was the best segue ever.
There's some great hiking.
Is there a zoo nearby? You ever been to the zoo?
Okay, so everyone stop for a second. I want to say the zoo in Birmingham is one of my favorites, and the Grasimere Zoo in Nashville is a fantastic place as well. So those are having traveled a lot, I know some of these things.
Well, that makes sense then.
And there's a place in Fargo that has great soup. So that's all I really know in this country. Those are the four things I know.
Do you like
frothy
soup?
Scott?
They have turtle soup, actually.
Oh, they do? All right.
They have good soup in Alabama.
All right. Yeah,
they do have actual
They have good
soup.
Barbecue in Birmingham.
Good barbecue, yes.
Good barbecue? Yeah,
barbecue, sure. Barbecued soup.
Okay.
What?
You interview Scott.
Sorry. It was just a great segue.
I don't know.
You like the zoo, Scott?
I... Do yourself a favor. I have a favor to ask you.
I have a favor.
Also go to the Star Dome and say hello to the comics for me as well.
I will. Star Dome's a great facility. I mean, some of my good friends have performed there. I know you have. In fact, you used your experience there in your stand-up.
I did. Oh, you watched that clip.
I did. Yes, we did.
Crushed it.
Crushed it in Birmingham that one time out of the 3 weeks. What are the rest of your plans? How long are you staying in Birmingham?
We're going to be here till the 31st, and then I'm coming back, and I'm actually I'm blessed and terrified because I'm guest hosting pretty late on December 2nd.
Are you really? On December 2nd. What's happening?
The January. Sorry, January 2nd. Yes, I have it written down December. That would be wrong.
That would be incorrect, yes.
Yeah, January 2nd, yes. So I'm filling in for the talented Patty Vasquez, which I can't live up to that, but I'll do my best.
You'll be great. I'm so excited that you're filling in for me. I did not know that. Yes, I'll be in Disney World.
Have you been before?
I have been to Disney, yes. This is our second time.
Brad Pitt's going to
be
there on the 3rd. That's news too. That's new news as well.
Yes, I've been. We went to Disney World last year, actually, so we decided to go back again this year.
It's gonna be so much fun.
Now you've been to LA, so have you been to Disneyland? Do you have it? Can you compare the two?
No, and I've been told not to bother with Disneyland.
What?
I know, but I might try it anyway, just to find out if I should bother with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you been to Disneyland?
Yeah, well, being a Southern California boy, yeah, I've never been to Disney World.
Oh, well then, why are you wedding me for if you don't even know about Disney World?
Because I'm living vicariously through you.
Well, I'm living vicariously through you. So there, go to the zoo, will you?
This is very confusing. If you're out there and you're confused, you have reason to be.
Yeah, exactly. You go to the zoo, I'll go to Disneyland, and we'll call it square.
Is there a zoo near Disneyland?
You're not a fan of the Disney World experience, are you?
I love Disney World. I just don't like to be a regimental Disney World experience. Super structured
Disney World. Scott, we have to know what you're fidgeting with before we let you go. What's that clacking?
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm throwing a baseball back and forth in my hand. I apologize.
No.
This is audio.
It's
this
clackety,
is,
though. It's a clackety noise.
Yeah, it sounded like it was something metal. It's like those.
What's in your hand?
A baseball,
making,
he said.
No. What's making the clackety noise?
Is the palm of his hand.
My flesh against the baseball. I don't know what to tell you. Honestly, that's it.
You had to scratch that itch, didn't you, Senator Katowski?
It's not an itch. No itch. There was hydrocortisone on that.
I'm just saying. Go to the zoo already.
I'll go to the zoo.
All right, then. My best to your family. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I can't believe I have to trip over the words happy holidays because I don't know what to say to people anymore. They've made me all tongue-tied. Merry Christmas, Scott Santos.
I did it last week. I said Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I said Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And they said... Then someone said, Happy Kwanzaa. And I was like, oh, Happy Kwanzaa. And somebody yelled something else out. And there was like four other things that I wasn't aware of.
So, it was so you just say Happy Holidays.
So
happy
I was just like, all right.
All right, Scott.
Have a great week off.
Merry Christmas, Scott. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Scott.
We miss you and we'll talk to you again soon.
Miss you too and happy travels.
Thank you. You too. Be safe. Thank you.
You too.
Bye. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago at WGNradio.com. Here with your news is Rob Martier. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Senator Dan Katowski was just asking me if I'd finished all my shopping, and I, off the air, was telling him what I helped my mom pick out for my husband, but I have not yet figured out what to buy for my husband. It's hard. You know, we were talking earlier about gifts, and you get stressed out about...
What do you get the man who has everything? I mean, he is married to Patty Vasquez, right?
Well, and we have so much stuff in my house.
It's hard. Like, things, like, I think, you know, it was funny, my... You know, my wife is like, she just wants to see Hamilton again.
Really?
That's it.
Get her the CD.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, she has it.
Oh, okay. And the DVD. I have not seen it yet. Have you seen it?
No.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
How about a reenactment with you as Hamilton?
How about I take her to the zoo? It's like the same.
We can go to Chicago Costume and get a costume for you to dress up as Hamilton.
How adorable would that be for her?
Oh, my God.
That'd be so cute.
Yeah.
Yes. You can get a dress for her. You play dress up.
My wife, yeah.
Your kids could dress up as different characters.
Be so much fun. She would appreciate the effort.
You'd learn some of the raps.
Yeah,
it'd
I do know some of them, but it's great. It's a great. The music is awesome, and but that's what she wants. But you know what she's been doing over the past couple of years though, and I give her a hard time. But she's a very nice, and more and kinder than I'll ever be. She like make contributions to like charities, like in your name. And things like that. And I was like, you know, that's ruining the whole spirit of Christmas. You know?
No, I started doing
that.
You're ruining the whole spirit of Christmas by making donations. Yes, Tom. By the way, Tom, we are scheduling talking to you right now, as a matter of fact. We want to find out more about you, but what do you want to say?
Excellent. Well, I think there's a Seinfeld episode about that.
The Human Fund, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
George Costanza ruining Christmas for everybody.
Yeah. Are they real charities?
Oh, they're real
charities. Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. She's done her research.
Human Fund.
Yeah.
So now we know something about Tom. He watches Seinfeld and can actually pull up the reference about ruining Christmas for everybody.
No, just that one.
Just that one. No, that one. I feel like you have more in you, Tom.
And,
I feel like,
and I have to tell you, everyone gives me like a hard time because nobody else feels that way. I'm the one to be like, "What are you doing?" Because I like.
I think other people. I have done earlier. We were talking about resentment, holiday resentments. I have done the angry donations for two relatives. In Declan's name, because like we have relatives, in-laws who
this is good.
Who will one of them won't acknowledge Declan. Like they'll come into the room, and one of them was sitting in my brother-in-law was sitting in a metal chair, and Declan, who has autism, seeks out a lot of sounds, and he was tapping my brother-in-law's chair. Let's call him Mark because that's his name. So Declan was tapping his chair, and instead of like you know engaging him in like any sort of conversation or anything, he looked down and like pulled his chair away from him and was so annoyed, just got up and walked away from Declan. And like that sounds like a weird instance, but it was symbolic of all the other. He never says, "Hey, Declan. Hey, buddy. How you doing?" Like it has. I don't think he. I want to say he's never talked to him in the 11 years of Declan's life. Declan doesn't speak, and I know that it's weird when you talk to somebody and they don't respond, and you don't know. Maybe you're uncomfortable, or even ask questions, right? And I've tried normalizing it for them too. So I made a donation in Declan's name for them since you've donated to the it's. Hypoplasia, the corpus callosum disorder, and there are obviously foundations all over the country. That's really what Declan has, as part of his brain is missing, and it comes with an explanation of what that means and what the prognosis is, and you know, just a way to educate them a little bit more. And
so
it was sort of an angry donation. Yes. Like, here, learn about your nephew.
Angry yes. / motivational to change behavior donation.
Exactly.
So yeah. what was the
look? Mark is
what happened?
Works on the legal defense team for the governor of Michigan, and also has worked for Karl Rove, and will be working in this administration in the White House. So I'm not sure what the rest of our conversations are going to be like on other levels.
Monitored
going forward. Yeah, it's going to be monitored. And this is somebody.
It's really good.
This is somebody who, by the way, the first time I met him, he came. Okay, first of all, I saw him. He didn't know that I was coming around the corner, and that he had spilled some eggnog on the kitchen table. And like, you know, you get a napkin or something, you clean it up, right? He swiped it and licked it, right? It was one of the weirdest things. And it stuck with
Mark.
Me forever.
Wow.
And then he came down, like there was another time when he came downstairs, you know, everyone's staying at my mother-in-law's house. And he came downstairs with a plunger on his face from the bathroom.
Oh, no. Why?
He's like, look at me. He thought it was really funny because it sucked to his face. And like, I mean, there's not enough bleach or I don't know what kind of you would be able to do in the bathroom to make that okay.
I get a little like icky when you have to use it and you put it in the tub to rinse it out. Like even then I'm like,
same thing.
Yes.
Same.
Tom is galled.
People have different standards.
Know? I guess he figures it's the family toilet. Yeah,
he should show that trick to Trump.
Are you? I'm having a couple.
I'm sure he would love it.
Yeah, that's right. No, your face will be fine, yeah. Mr. President. Just stick it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? I'm having a couple thoughts. I'm thinking, thank God I didn't marry into that family, right? Because my behavior. Then Dan.
Knock on wood, Dan Katowski.
You know,
neither of us
senator.
Married into that.
I'm not going to out the guy, but his name is Katowski.
Poor Mark. poor Mark.
That's funny.
I know. Well, and his wife, let's call her. Okay, I shouldn't use her name. But I've told you this story about how the first time I met her, she's like, so I understand that you're Mexican. Do you feel?
I want to meet her so bad.
I know.
So I'm going to wear a sombrero.
So you're Mexican? What was the
She
the
goes. I, she asked me, she goes, do you feel like a Mexican?
What does that feel like?
Exactly.
What's the feeling?
When I burp, I taste a taco every single time.
Say,
sometimes
it's nice.
Says, yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah. Savory.
It feels really nice. She also then one year we do this thing called a white elephant, and mm-hmm. I had to leave because I had a migraine, and my mom stayed. And you know, you can steal gifts from each other, mm-hmm. opened gifts already, or you can open something new. And my mom was going to go open something new, and Trisha said to her, Trisha said,
she's out.
Yes.
Trisha said, Dora, why don't you steal? You're Mexican.
She said that to my mom at Christmas. Yeah, that
She'd be like, you already did that for us, Trish.
So that was too late. Yeah, that was. And the mistake that I made was, first of all, my mom told me the next day.
I had left.
So mom was not feeling great the next day. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said that she was not up for going to the in-laws anymore. And I asked her why. And she told me the story. And the mistake that I made was going to verify it rather than taking my mom at her word. But it's such an appalling story that I needed more information. And I called one of my nieces, Carrie, and I said, what happened last night? She was like, yeah, I was really kind of hoping your mom wouldn't tell you about that.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, because I mean, she knew that. And that's when the gloves came off, because I was just, yeah. I mean, it's a stupid white elephant thing. Why do you have to diminish my mom, my mother, you know, and make her feel different just because it's all, you know, you're all... Trisha has traced their, you know, family lineage to Irish royalty. And yeah, she always makes me feel like I've muddied the waters. Whenever I come over, she'll say things like, I can't get over how much Griffin looks Mexican.
So they're pure Irish royalty?
The Irish and a little bit Welsh.
Well, they've already muddled it. So.
As someone who is Irish, I don't think I've ever heard of Irish royalty. Is that like...
There's a rock and a boss. Yeah. And there's some sheep that you get...
Yes. What is it? The king of the potatoes?
No, there's a difference.
And queen, apparently.
What were we going to say, Senator?
What's the difference between lace curtain and shanty? Okay?
It is a difference between lace curtain.
There's some people as clearly trying to define themselves, right?
Well, as other in-laws have, my sister-in-law, let's call her Sheila, has said, well, Trisha thinks that she's Irish royalty, but the rest of us aren't. Oh, I am really airing out all the.
This is a Festivus. This is the airing of grievances.
We have that too. I have my aunt Rosa. She thinks she's the most high and mighty of them all. And it's like, sweetheart, no.
No, mm-mm. Look at all. Bring it down. Bring it down a notch.
That's interesting. You know, there'd be a great segment. Who's the relative that irritates you
the most?
Call in right now.
Oh my gosh.
Let's just call in.
Yeah. Because I've aired mine out. I've taken those sheets and just went.
Wow.
Whoosh.
Yeah. That's good.
Dirty laundry right there.
I think will you see these family members over the holidays?
Not all of them. I don't think Mark's coming into town, but my sister-in-law will be. Oh, most of them will be. I might go for a quick visit. There's so many people that I do love and adore. And I would say the most tender moment, the most sincere, authentic moment I have ever shared with my sister-in-law, Trisha, and I felt so badly for her because it's so symbolized how like we don't connect. Her father had just passed away, and you know, I was following Declan around. Declan was going up and down the stairs, and Trisha was ironing, getting ready for seeing people. And I came into the doorway where she was in the room, and she goes, you know, I never thought about how hard it was for you when you lost your dad. And she goes, now I get it. And I felt so badly for her because she was trying so hard to connect with me. And I said, I know, I'm so sorry. Because their dad, and Steve will hate me if I say his name. So because my husband is extremely private. But his dad was one of the most remarkable human beings I've ever met. Their dad was involved with teen theater in Evanston. He did a brilliant teen. He was a music writer and songwriter, and Steve knows this. He's one of the reasons I kept dating Steve. Was when I met his dad, I was like, okay, if this man raised this, you know, my boyfriend, I things are going to go well. I stand by that. My father-in-law and I always like sat at the one end of the table because we were both lefties, so we would have the lefties corner. We didn't have to worry about elbowing anybody. But that was the first time that Trisha and I really connected, was when and I felt so badly that it had to be under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. So I do have a relationship with my sister-in-law, but the sort of dramatic stories are the ones that you tell, aren't they?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So with that story, I probably should forgive her a lot of stuff. I keep my guard up, that's all. By the way, when we come back, we're going to talk to our producer, Tom Hush, because we've never met you before. I mean, have I met you and I just forgot? Have I met you before?
Yeah.
Where did I meet you?
Thanksgiving. You gave me a healthy amount of turkey because I couldn't go to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It's the hat. I forgot what the hat. It's the hat. Well, thank you how was your Thanksgiving meal?
It was very, very good. Oh. Very tasty.
You know how that turkey was done? We spatchcocked that turkey.
Oh.
Did you remember me telling that story on the air?
Yes, people got a very... Were they getting offended? Well, you know.
I said it so many times. That's one of the best turkeys I've ever made, so I'm glad you enjoy that.
Delicious.
It's a lot of people thinking they're shooting.
Shooting.
They shooting. That should.
I've got the nuclear panic button right yeah. here.
Laura, let us know when the show's gone completely off the rails, will you? She's like, wait a minute, I just took a drink of something. Now you're talking to me? I haven't forgotten about you, our good friend Laura, up in traffic. Hey, Laura Vaughn. She's like, wait a minute, I wasn't ready.
You can't just cure.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello. Have you met Tom Hush?
No.
All right, then. We're going to meet him when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is State Senator Dan Katowski, Esmeralda Leon, who is taking over at 2 a.m., filling in for Nick D alongside John Hansen. Laura Vaughn up in traffic. I'm sorry I haven't said hello to you, Laura. How have you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I was asking if you've ever met Tom Hush, because I apparently met him on Thanksgiving, shoved a plate of food at him, and then forgot about him completely, and I apologize for that, sir.
That's kind of what my parents did.
I'm used to it.
Well,
because you said you weren't able to get home. You had been here for a long day, hadn't you?
No, it was a pretty long day, but it was my very first day producing for WGN.
What?
So I was like,
Threw food at you and forgot about you. I'm sorry.
That was the nicest thing you could have done, though.
Oh.
It was fantastic.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Well, and that was a great show that night with Carl. And it was great shows with Carl and Lisa. Do you listen to, you can watch it, I guess, but the classic radio series that we have on Saturday and Sunday nights?
I do not.
Oh, the Jack Benny episode. You guys had the Jack Benny Thanksgiving.
Yes, we did.
Oh, it was so good.
It was fantastic.
That must have been.
Oh, and then Harry Shearer was one of the, did you remember that?
Yeah, he was one of the young actors on that. Yeah, one of the kids.
It was so cool. Did you have any idea going into that production of pulling all that stuff for them?
Nope. They sent me the files beforehand so that I could have it. I listened to a little bit of it, gave myself a feel, but I just said, you know what, we'll go win the moment.
Yeah, so good. That was one of my favorites. So where are you from, Tom?
I am originally from Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Oh, it's a hall.
Yeah.
So that's the Rouse Center now. Are you going to go to the New Year's Eve?
I used to work at the Rouse Center, actually, when I was 15.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful theater. Have you guys been to the Rouse Center?
No.
Rouse Center? No. Mm-hmm. Well, you should. On New Year's Eve, Steve Cochran has a show there with Pat McGann and John DeCause. And I believe T.R. Banker's. I'll be at the Tivoli at 6 p.m. for the other show. We have two shows that day, one at 1 p.m. in Crystal Lake at the Rouse Center. It's a beautiful theater.
Yeah, I loved working there. It was a really interesting way to get to know the whole theater thing. And
do you know that story? I think I just heard it, was it yesterday, about a woman who had opened that theater, and there was a bombing there because the mob didn't want her to open that theater. Like, it was kind of this, kind of a threat to their, I guess, their way of life.
Weird. I did not know that.
I hope that's true. I hope I didn't just dream that story, but I believe I heard John DeCause and someone interviewing the guy who runs the theater now.
Yeah, I'm sure weirder things have happened in Crystal Lake. I'll tell you that much.
Really? Like what?
There was a Palm Sunday tornado back in the 60s that caused, like, it destroyed like 80% of the entire city at that point. And if you guys know who Sufjan Stevens is, the musician, he wrote a song about it that got left off of his Illinois album called, ooh, like, The Palm Sunday Tornado.
What?
Yeah. Now look it up. It's all, like, instrumental.
I mean, did he ever release the song? I mean,
yeah, you can find it. It's on, like, a B-sides collection or something like that.
No kidding.
So that's, like, Crystal Lake's claim to fame right there.
That's wild.
Wow.
I hadn't. See? This is why I'm so glad we talked to Tom.
Yes. I mean, it's Thanksgiving and Palm Sunday wrapped into one.
I mean, the two best holidays.
But the Rouse Center, did they have any, like, musical acts perform there?
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was
always...
Who
did you see? Who was your favorite act there?
They had one night of Queen, you know, the Queen tribute group?
Oh, yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be backstage when they were and talk to them a little bit. And the lead singer was actually a Scottish guy from the same place as my dad in Scotland.
Wait, your dad's from Scotland?
Yes.
Oh, wild.
I know, right?
What the hell? Can he call in?
No, he can't.
Okay, then. No, he can't. He's not calling in for your tricks. Where did you study broadcasting? Was this your goal?
Yeah, I studied broadcasting at Loyola University, and pretty much since I was a kid, I always wanted to be on radio.
Okay.
Because I thought, like, being a jock was, like, the coolest thing you could be. Like, no one sees your face, you're mysterious, and you get to just be the cool person on air. And
now what do you think, having seen the magic behind the method?
You guys are nerds. Like.
Thanks. God.
No, in the best possible way, but everybody I've met in radio is a little bit of like kind of a geek, and that's
the best absolutely.
Part.
Oh, I'll fly my geek flag proudly. I am totally a geek. No doubt about it.
I'm a little uncomfortable with it, but yeah, sure. Too.
You'll come to it in time, you know.
There you go. And so you've had the opportunity to film and produce over the last month?
Yeah, yeah. They Stephanie are fantastic. She's the assistant program director, right? Uh-huh. She
creative content, I think,
yes,
as well.
Mm-hmm. Creative content. She just called me up a few days before Thanksgiving and said, hey, you know, we had been talking over the last few months. I'd been here a couple times just to chat with her and Todd. And a few days before Thanksgiving, she's like, hey, we really need you. You're hired now. Like,
wow.
Can you come in tomorrow and we'll train you? I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do.
That's very cool. Well, congratulations and welcome to WGN then.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
That's
very
exciting.
Cool story.
Yeah, I love that.
Did you work at the radio station at Loyola?
Yes, I was actually the program director there.
Program director?
Yes.
Look out.
It's a thankless job.
What's the number on the dial again? Is it?
88.7.
That's right.
WLUW,
love
Chicago
it.
Sound Alliance, broadcasting.
Great music. Great
Thank
music.
You.
Yeah.
It used to be something else.
It was like high energy. Or
wasn't 88.7, wasn't that, it was 88 point. Yeah. Like, what was the game? It wasn't Loyola.
Wait, no.
What was the game? It was 88.9? Maybe it was 9. Yeah, 88.7 always has, it's always a fun station to listen to. This one's the game. Yeah, we had a station called The Game.
It was a sports.
It was our little. It was our little sister, brother, our
snotty brother. I think they would.
It was great.
Say.
It was all sports. Carmen and Connor McKnight had a show on the evenings at 7. And it was a lot of. Anyway, I don't know how my brain does that where it's like I will talk about something else now. We're talking about Tom. Talking about Tom Hush. And Laura, how is everything going for the holidays for you?
Very good. Why are you asking?
Why am I asking?
What
I'm not
happened?
Accusing you of anything.
She just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, no, she's like, would you stop it? It was quiet up here. How have you been? We haven't seen you. We haven't seen you for a while.
I'm just doing my thing, man. Doing my thing.
There you go.
But we'll find out how the roads are in just a few minutes. Do I have a break before the news?
Nope, we're going to do it now.
We're going to do it. Oh.
He's demanding.
I'm looking at my schedule, and it's
scheduled for the 1:30. Is scheduled at 1:30?
Yeah, what do you know?
I know, it's remarkable that way. I know, you've done a great job. You've been sweating bullets while Dr. Daphne Scott was using a word we'd never heard before in that form.
Shoulding. Can we call Merriam-Webster and be like, get that in it?
Yeah. Well, I was actually doing Steve Cochran's show the other day, and Steve asked me if I would sing with the choir, and I went to say no way, and I think it came across as though I was saying something else.
Ooh,
and it's in the morning, and I'm like, man, people probably hear that kind of stuff. Like, they hear what they want to hear. But all of us were like, did Dr. Daphne just swear on the air? But she had not. We just asked her to clarify what she had just said.
It was very surprising to hear it.
Shoulding? Yeah. Because shoulding isn't a word that we hear.
Most people don't use that, but now she's going to create.
Now I have to Google it and see if she has made that stuff up, which I'm guessing she is, and that's completely within her right.
Copyright that.
You know what? Wouldn't it be cool if she just kind of like was very quick on her feet and said, oh, whoops.
Well, maybe she is.
Okay, let's not speculate. And by the way, Tom's like, did I not just say it was time for the news? And we were almost going to make it on time. Here with everything you need to know is Rob Martyr. You are listening pretty late. I feel like it's a little jazzy, like we should just take it down, bring the energy down a little bit. Senator Gutowski?
Got a Peanuts feel to it.
Well, that's that Palm Sunday song.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Palm Sunday song?
Yeah,
the tornado that came through Crystal Lake and destroyed 80% of the town?
Yep.
John, you did not. John Hansen joined us in the studio.
Wow. What a moment to Jonah to jump on in. What are you talking about? There was a Palm Sunday tornado?
In Crystal Lake in the 60s.
Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I usually am up on my tornado history too, which is a strange thing to say, but
oh, I got the Plainfield one, and then there's a and then the
Belvedere tornado.
Yes,
yeah, there's a big one there, or was. Not currently, not to alarm anyone.
Why is the Plainfield one the one that sticks in my mind, but there have been some really big
ones. You were in the area then, of course, during it. It was,
I was
it's fairly close, too.
And it was big.
Yeah,
it's not too far.
And this is the scary thing, is that Skilling always says it's not a matter of if, but when it comes to the city of Chicago.
Right.
Anyway.
Hey, everybody. Friday, everybody.
That, and also, let's buy more nuclear arms. Hey, look, let's... I have a question about the holidays and buying gifts. Tom gave me this this piece about Amazon has sold out their Echo, except in stores. So it's available in stores. Now, I ordered this for my husband. I bought it for him for his birthday in August. And I told Griffin after I ordered it and it came and I was going to wrap it. And he goes, "Why would you bring that in the house? They're going to be listening to us all the time."
They, meaning
they
the government.
But I found out that Griffin and Steve adamantly, vehemently against something like the Echo being in our house.
Really?
I will get packages from Amazon and it has just the advertising on the tape. It says Amazon Echo. And Griffin's like, "You bought another one?" I'm like, "No, I returned the one that made you flip out. And this is just the advertising and all the other packages."
Well, I mean, there's some truth to it. I mean, I don't know if they listen to word by word, but I mean, if anyone has a Facebook page or they're Googling, in a way they listen to what we type in and adjust everything.
But it is
everything.
Listening.
Yeah, it is. It's listening. I mean, there's one that's a tap where you have to initiate, but yes, Griffin's like, "You don't know that it's off."
You know, if they want to hear what I'm doing in my bedroom or in my house, that is totally fine. I mean, that's their loss.
But
trust
when you
me.
Say, "I was in Boston and my boyfriend's brother had it," and you just go, "Alexa, where can I find pizza?" She'd be like, "Bling, blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Whoa, that's frightening."
Oh, wow. Wait, yeah. Is Alexa the
that's
Echo's
the name? Of
name?
The Echo.
That's Echo.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you familiar with
this, Senator? I am.
So, what are your thoughts on having something that might possibly be listening all the time?
Well, I try not to think about it.
Right?
But I mean, like any of our devices, I mean, this could be, I watched The Good Wife, and the national security was using phones. They could turn it on as a microphone anytime. So presumably.
The authority of true what's happening with our NSA, The Good Wife, yeah.
they had a lot. Look, they had Home and Square on an episode. Okay. And then like a month later, people were like, "People are disappearing at Home and Square being held without due process."
See,
and I was like, "See, that was on a Good Wife." And
but with the Alexa thing, it has to be on and it has to be listening.
Right.
Like a phone you could put on airplane mode and it'll still do most of the things it can do.
But it won't transmit.
Yeah.
Right.
But the Alexa,
now you know of,
must be listening.
Exactly, Laura.
Yeah. It has
Why
to be
was
listening
Griffin,
for you.
Like, how plugged in was Griffin to this that he was...
Well, he's been doing a lot of research on also driverless cars bugs him, that he doesn't think this is a good idea.
I don't like it either.
Tom, you're nodding your head as well. Are you
it
against...
worries me.
Yeah.
Oh, God, bring them as soon as you can. What are you kidding me?
Well, I like driving my car.
I like driving my car.
I do too, but I can't wait till I don't have to.
You can just take a nap in it.
Yes.
Although
and
I
not
always...
like Carm, like traveling around the area. Yes. Like not just in the parking lot.
Poor
but
Carm.
You...
That was an off-the-air conversation, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, we all know. Carm is a hard worker.
Are you blurring the lines?
Oh, we're on the air? What?
Yes, we're on the air now. That was off the air that I was saying that Carm was...
He is a hard worker.
He's a hard worker.
Working really hard.
He's napped in their car
for a little
bit.
He's
a busy bee.
Is he
he's asleep now. He's fine. Okay. I hope he's asleep, but not in his car.
Oh, my goodness. I'll send him a note.
Okay, you want driverless cars.
Yes.
Griffin's thing is that, one, it can be hacked, right? And also, by the way, that goes to the other thing which Tom handed me, which was a couple who says their GPS led them onto Metro tracks.
Okay, no, that's just, you're just a moron. I'm
no,
sorry.
But that's the same thing as a driverless car. The driverless car is going to be operating on a GPS.
Yeah, but the GPS is not running your car.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
The GPS, I followed it, and here I am stuck in the tracks. I shouldn't have followed
it. Well, the GPS
told
me
to. Yes, that's stupid, but I'm saying, but then, so you're not, that person, those people should have driven off the track.
That person.
But taking the driver out of the equation who can ignore the GPS, your car's only running on GPS.
No, the person who drove onto the tracks misunderstood what the GPS was telling them to do. The GPS and the driverless car would have gotten it right and not known to go onto the train tracks.
I don't think so.
Well, oh, I'm just
no. Why? What's to circumvent the car going on the tracks if there's no human to go? This isn't the right thing to be.
Well, even
the right
when
place.
There was a human,
right?
They still went on the track.
That's because that's them.
The thing is, what if there's a that's bug? What if there's a bug in the system?
I'm saying. Yeah. Did you hear about the thermostat? What is it? Nest.
Yeah.
So they had a thing where there was you needed it to there was a the upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't go through. And there were homes across the country where the thermostat it just shut down.
Okay.
In the middle of winter, and now like one family found out because their baby started crying, and they went to go check, and they realized it was freezing in the baby's
scary.
Room.
That's scary.
Right, and the only way to fix it was to have someone come to the. And this was across the country,
so wait, there was no manual override. Is
exactly.
What you're saying.
Why weren't they cold?
They once they got out of their blankets.
Oh, maybe, the babies! What?
Just... Maybe the baby's on the first floor, and they were on the second floor. Heat rises. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
These stories sound like they could be fixed with just humans thinking
sense.
A little more.
Exactly. This is why we co-host together.
Yes.
We
bring
the
fixing
truth.
The world.
I'm worried about the hacking into it, though.
I agree.
I would worry about that.
You know, I always thought driverless cars would happen, but there would be a track. That they would be on?
Yes.
Like a Great America?
Yeah.
Like a train?
On the road.
Like long steering wheel?
Yes, you go like this. Right.
Like that 3-hour ride that you wait on that
no,
goes
but,
a mile
so
an
I,
hour.
So I assume they'd be on a track of some sort, so they wouldn't be able to just like boof, fall
before
off
before we get
the
cars
thing.
On the track, I need bumper cars. If all the cars are bumper cars and they were driverless, I would be okay with
well,
that.
Well, you got the bumpers
to go
on the cars.
You have to go a little bit slower, too.
Here's the thing with all this.
The bumpers would have to be huge. How massive are those bumpers?
He's got to make solid rubber bumpers. It's fine.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Yes.
As we implement these sorts of things, and I believe the driverless car situation came up in San Francisco. Uber was going to introduce these. The attorney general said, do not do that. And they said, it's not really driverless because there is a driver there that can take over. If not, it's just a testing phase. Uber backed off of that, they said yesterday. So Uber's not going to do the driverless cars. This thing is 15 to 20 years away. But they're going to work out the kinks in the system, this sort of stuff, to figure out the GPS mistakes where, I mean, GPS has been around for a lot longer, but in terms of on our phones,
right.
5, 6, 7 years, imagine how much better it's going to be in 15, 20 years. And there does need to be, I agree, some sort of way, like the Nest thing drives, I can't believe there's not a manual override for that. As we go to automated systems, I do worry about us losing the autonomy, but I hope that all these devices that they come up with have the ability that if you want to drive your driverless car,
well, there's no doubt
just
about
hit
that.
A button and you drive it. Or if you're about to hit a truck, just
like
hit a little button.
I like the way you push buttons. I like the way you push it.
Little button.
There should be a sound. Ba-ding.
I would also like something to buzz me awake, because I'll be sleeping in my driverless car.
There's an alarm on your phone, Esmeralda.
No,
we
yeah, but
have
a little,
that.
Like, bzzz. Like wake up, a car.
Can
like
we get a toilet in those
yeah,
cars,
like a
too?
Seat
a toilet? Wait, Laura would like a toilet in the
in
car
those
as well.
Cars, too, is we just don't have to that? Get out. We can just go, like, all the way to Florida. In the car.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, so they sell those. They sell like
almost
like a little.
That's going to come with some curtains, too.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to see.
I remember traveling. I was going down to South Carolina with a professor at the University of Illinois, and he had like something because like, he didn't want to pull over for anybody.
That's insane.
And they had like a travel potty
nope.
for people to go in the back of the van.
That's
and
that, insane.
Yeah, oh, that's, oh, yeah. You attach it to the
you
the
attach
bumper
it to anything? No, it's kind of like a training potty, but for it's like
that's
oh, I've
disgusting.
Seen the ones you attach them to the back of the bumper, but it's like a disgusting. Toilet seat, and then there's just a bucket. Oh,
they make inflatable ones for kids. You've probably seen those.
Yeah,
inflatable. Yeah, you gotta
just blow it up. It's like a
keyword there
body.
Was for kids,
right?
I'm still stuck on this buzzing awake thing.
Well, no, because if there's an accident or there's
so
about
you
want to
be awoken right before you slam into the back of a
well,
semi,
it's
just
like
keep me asleep
way,
and
yes.
let me slam
it's
on
a
button.
Say your prayers.
Yeah. Let the accident happen.
Just let it happen. And
well, I thought you wanted to get you want to take a power nap and then something a device to wake you up.
Yeah.
So you can
well, yeah, that too.
To
I guess.
Paper.
Yeah. I don't know.
Make
January 13th, 2016. Nest thermostat glitch leaves users in the cold.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was they'd gone into their child's room. The thermometer in his room was 64 degrees, and Nest was off. Users vented on the social media. So this was across the country where this happened, and people were waking up. Their Nest was offline and unable to reconnect, and it had to have an override.
Okay, so
it was it at 64 degrees
in the
baby's room.
And
okay.
It was in January in New York.
That's not that bad. 64.
Well, yeah, but it's dropping
for a baby.
For
yeah,
baby,
you
yeah.
never know.
It makes that baby tough.
Yes, I feel like there should be some manual.
Has a perpetual case of the chills right now. So. So What?
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, as long as there's some manual overrides to all this stuff, I believe that the government, obviously we've revealed through Edward Snowden leaks and all these sorts of things, Julian Assange, that our government is clearly looking into us a little bit more than they should, and probably more than we even know. And just for whatever reason, I know, and I even have very strong libertarian instincts inside of me. And just at this point, I don't think there's a way around it. With how connected we are to technology, this is the other side of it. If we love our phones so much to get us around, to buy things online, you do not get to have that and then the luxury of never being tracked, never being found out, all that stuff, never being listened to. I think that we've gone past it, and unfortunately this is a reality.
So you give up. You're like, just take it.
This isn't something I can solve, so I'm just going to give up. I can't impact. I don't know.
Yeah, we're a little bit apprehensive of that, aren't we?
Well, I mean, that's one point, though. I think that's a fair point, that it's happening. But the other point is, like, is this level of comfort that you're going to be safe and secure in the process is as people have kind of figured out. Now, the argument could be there's a lot of accidents that occur on the roads right now due to the failure of someone who makes a mistake while they're driving their vehicle. But I just, in light of everything that's been going on, right, and just the fact that systems and email systems and all this hacking that's gone on, just the fact that someone could go in, you talk about a manual override, but someone could come in and just say, you know what, I'm just gonna mess with this thing.
Right.
You know, the car's going to go up to 100 miles an hour and you won't stop.
Right. Right?
And that worries me.
It's the argument that we hear with having planes fly on their own, too, and everyone would freak out about that. You definitely, and having said that, I would want a pilot to be right there.
Give me a pilot. I'm your pilot.
Exactly.
Tom,
they already have hacked regular cars because all of our cars have computers in them, and they've shown that people can remotely hack into those cars. So I wonder if it'll only get worse.
That, yes. And also the fact that there won't be driverless cars. It won't be uniform. Like, there are going to be some driverless cars and some humans driving. So the driverless cars and people driving are not going to be able to, they're not going to be compatible. They won't be able to coexist on the roads because driverless cars aren't going to be able to take into account human error on the part of other cars. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just
humans are unpredictable.
Exactly.
Whereas driverless cars,
we're the worst. Just replace all of us with computers already.
Okay,
we are messing up this planet pretty well on our own.
So you like singularity, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Will the driverless cars yell in a robot voice at people?
See, now I'm on board.
Cut me off.
Hey, lady, does it get any greener?
That's right. You are in front of me.
I wish we did have the ability to speak to other cars.
I know.
You could enter a driver's license in there, and you could just, like, yell at a person across the way. Or be kind to them as well.
Now, compliment them on their excellent driving skills.
Will the computer slow down the car just to be purposely passive-aggressive if a car is tailgating?
That's a setting.
Is it a setting?
That's a setting.
It's got to be.
It's a little lever. As you're driving, you set it to how mad you are during the day, if you're feeling okay.
Put a personality into it. I would put my dad's personality into
my
car.
You know when a car comes up to you super fast, that drives me crazy, and I just start to
slow down. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ease up the other.
You
car
mean the same?
Me.
Yeah. Passive aggressive. Like, oh, you in a hurry? How about we never go? Yeah, how about we not go anywhere ever right now in this?
You're gonna try and kill everybody on the road. We're gonna do it slowly.
Tom. Yeah. I think Tom wants a good.
Well, we just had a caller call in and say that they're even making shows now. There's an upcoming show. I think she said it was called Hunted, where it's gonna be about like these driverless cars.
Hunting?
Going after people.
Like Christine.
See?
Like Duel? Yeah. Didn't Spielberg have a movie about that?
Christine.
Duel?
No, Christine.
Oh, Duel. What's Duel?
Duel's the truck movie he made before Jaws.
Oh, my God.
That didn't do very well, but the truck was...
Back. That's good stuff.
The truck was in control, and the truck would track down drivers and run them off the road.
Was it evil?
Yes, of course it was. It was a really nice truck.
What a charming
took
truck.
Took out bad guys. It was the Batman of trucks out there on the roadway.
It could have just been sensible.
The vigilante truck.
It wasn't a Transformer. Okay.
Yes. Was
I don't
evil.
Know what's
no,
happening.
Wait. So you never, did you see Christine, though?
No, I don't even know what
That's
you're talking
Stephen
about.
Stephen King movie. That car.
Possessed car.
Possessed car.
Really?
You know, that
awesome
car was
movie.
Evil.
It's been made a couple times.
Right. You're just running people over.
That's right.
And then I think there was a dog. Wait, that's Cujo. More after this on 720 WGN. Maybe he's robotic. There is superstition. We are just dancing in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me, State Senator Dan Katowski, is riding sidecar all night. And I want to thank you so much. We're not going to see each other for a couple weeks. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
You too.
I'm excited for the holidays. I'm trying to be. I'm saying it so that Christmas. I will be.
Are you not into it yet?
I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to. I'm not stressed out about it, so maybe that's why it feels abnormal. Because usually I'm stressed out and I'm running around. My mom and I went shopping today. We had a really nice time.
Oh, nice!
But my son Declan had a great time. We were at the mall. I like that. Have you ever been to the designer outlet mall at in Rosemont?
No.
I like it.
Is it spacious?
It is.
Is there parking?
Yes.
Okay, well then I'm in.
It's the kind of parking with the lights. It lets you know how many are available on this level. You know that there's like 72 on this level, and then you drive to the green lights where the open spots are. So every parking spot has a light above it. It's red if it's full, if it's taken. It's green if it's open. And for handicap spots, it's got a blue light over it.
Is it connected to Rivers Casino?
It is not, because that's on the other side.
That's on the other side.
That's right.
Okay. So, no, I've not been
there. You need to shop and gamble? No, is what you're saying?
I just need to gamble.
Connected to a speakeasy.
I need to gamble first, and then if I do well, then everyone gets presents.
But it is right next to the entertainment district right there in Rosemont with Zany's Comedy Club and Joe's over there. It's got like a really great area. The Movie Co., Rosemont Movie Co. I love going to theaters. Yeah.
My uncle's a cop in Rosemont, so I don't know why I just had to mention that.
Can I will mention this. I am being followed on Twitter by the Evanston police, which is a weird thing. I don't know why. And Rudolph the Reindeer. I don't know why.
That's nice.
That's because of me. I report.
Is that what happened? Yeah. I'm not sure why. I know Police Scanner listens to the show. They're a big fan of John Tatey's, and I think the show as well sometimes. But the Police Scanner, they do all the anything the chatter on the police radios.
Yeah. Some of that's real great.
I guess you were talking when I was driving in about relatives who annoy you at Christmas. So it was just on my mind referring to my cop uncle in Rosemont. Yeah. No, God bless him.
Yes. He's
great.
Do you have any relatives that you're sort of cringing about seeing?
You know,
this weekend?
No, we're really lucky to have a very strong nuclear family. Not too big of an extended family. I think that's why there's just limited choices, so we have to like each other. I don't have that many cousins, that many aunts and uncles. Everyone's fine. Actually, I don't have any.
Do you guys have any traditions like playing any board games or card games or watching movies?
We gamble. We play
clearly.
So on Christmas Day, that's what I'm asking. Exactly. They open Christmas Eve. No, Christmas Eve we go with my mom's side of the family. They're a little bit more tame and quiet. We play right, left, center with like dollar bills. You roll these three dice in your hand. They have either a dot on. So instead of having 1 through 6, it's either a dot, an R, an L, or a C. So you have $3 in front of you. You roll however many dollars you have. You roll dice up to 3. Let's say you roll an R, a C, and an L. You pass $1 to your right, $1 to your left, and 1 into the pot in the center. And then it passes to the next person, and it goes around. You pass the dice around, and eventually there's only 2 people left with a dollar each, or, you know, 2 to 1, and whoever has the last dollar remaining gets to get all the money that's in the center. So we play about 20 rounds of that.
Wow.
And that's with my mom's side. My dad's side, we play dollar poker, dollar 7-card poker, and you lose
cocktails?
Hundreds of dollars. Oh, my gosh, Laura Vaughn, of course there's cocktails. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we do. It's a blast. It's an absolute blast. You just go and you lose money to your family members.
Anybody else? I mean, I've heard of families that have a lot of gambling at Christmas time. Not gambling, but playing for, you know.
That's gambling. No,
it is gambling.
That's gambling.
It's your Evanston.
We just smoke like a carton of Pall Mall cigarettes. Oh, I'm completely hammered.
Is that because Lucky Strikes are out? Is that what happened?
It's all happening in the church basement, of course. Mm-hmm. So, no, we watch a Christmas Story. Every Christmas.
Oh, that sounds better. Sounds more appropriate.
Well, you could have it on the background. You just have it on the loop while you
love that. Love that.
No, we have the World Series of Poker on in the background.
Getting tips.
Yeah, just getting. We're learning. Exactly.
I feel like I want to start.
You watch The Hangover, right?
Yes, exactly. Anything to screw my Aunt Marlene.
She'll like
it. She always gets a straight flush.
Oh, my God. Esmeralda, are there any card games at your house?
No. We don't gambling do anything. We just drink and eat.
Yeah. And complain.
And complain at each other about how we do things wrong.
Oh, I heard all about this Thanksgiving. But this Thanksgiving was mild, which means
I didn't do anything. I just sat back and I was like, I'm not going to do anything.
That means it's going to be bad for Christmas. You know it's coming
the other
way. Well,
I'm making tamales with my mom, so we'll see how that
goes. That won't go well.
Man. Tom, any traditions in your house?
I mean, we just kind of eat and drink.
Yeah, see?
And think about all the bad things that have happened.
Sounds pleasant.
Like, we still complain about, you know, the English and Cromwell.
He's so
Oh, wow.
His family,
you go back?
His dad's from Scotland.
That's good
oh.
stuff.
Yeah, wow. Okay, yeah.
Stuck in the 1600s.
What's yeah. mom's background?
She is Irish-Italian, half Gaelic, half garlic.
Oh,
I like that.
Okay, who wrote that, your mom or you?
No, I saw it on a novelty T-shirt.
Does she own that T-shirt?
Yeah, no,
she
needs, not yet.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything for the Irish-Mexican girls. I don't think I have corned beef burritos.
I'd eat a corned beef burrito.
Absolutely.
They actually have that at every year at Irish Fest. Shush. What are you laughing at?
Something I was going to say, but I was like, I got to still think about
it. You have to run it past me
first? A future
in
politics. Yeah. I may go back in.
Yeah, no kidding. And how about you, Laura Vaughn? Any traditions at your household?
We play Cards Against Humanities and watch Tommy Boy.
Oh, why Tommy Boy? Is that a holiday movie?
No, it's just something that we watch.
That's cute.
Well, that fits with Cards Against Humanity. I think that makes
sense. That's a good one. Yeah.
Have you ever played Cards Against Humanity?
I think I have.
I feel like sending it home with you. I have it in my office. Oh, I can't get it in my office. I feel like, but it's not good to play with the kids.
At Brett's house, so we're going to Brett's house for Christmas Day. We also play drink until Brett's dad falls over into the chair or something.
Oh, that's cute.
And that's when Christmas has ended.
Do you take bets on how long it'll take?
Yes, actually
do you
we do.
Do draw on his face?
No. You don't want to do that with Rich. But no, it's every year. And last year I missed it. I was in the bathroom when he fell over and it just didn't do it. But that's
who won
when
the pool?
Now is everyone taking
Brett won the pool.
Everyone
he
takes
knows.
Selfies in front of Frank's dad.
It's fun. We go, you know.
Now I need to see that selfie.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll snap it to everyone if you follow me on Snapchat.
I don't understand how Snapchat works.
I don't either, so I hope it goes out to people.
You were asking me about what my favorite social media was, and you've been using Twitter more often.
Yes.
Everyone's like, oh, check out my Snapchat. And I'm like, I don't know how to find you. I don't understand.
People get so mad when you don't check them out either.
I know.
They think you didn't see my Snapchat story.
Right, you can tell. You can tell when someone opened it, I guess.
People don't get as upset with like the Twitter, the Facebook. There's an obligation. Someone's like, well, you didn't like me in what I posted on Facebook. And I was like,
maybe I didn't like about?
There's like a million people on Facebook.
We have no seconds left, mm-hmm. but it is weird when someone says something I saw you doing CrossFit on Facebook. I'm like, and then in my mind, I'm like, you've never liked any of those.
Yeah. Exactly.
What a weird, bizarre psychosis. I got to admit,
I see every single one, and I don't think I've ever liked it because I'm just jealous.
I'm so pissed at myself that I don't do it. I am posting the ones where I drop and I can't hold on to it, but I also posted one where there's a gopher on the bar like trying to get a donut, and I'm like, that's actually what I look like when I'm crossing. I don't post the videos of me not being able to do a chin-up.
Okay,
there's a ton of things.
That was a funny one. But I didn't like it.
I hate you. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago Radio and WGNRadio.com. Nick D is off, so that means that Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen are in with Dan Shakir behind the glass. Hey, Dan, how's it going? And Tom, thank you so much for producing tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Hope to see you again. I'll bring you a plate of turkey again sometime. Laura Vaughn, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.